Yes, you are watching me for a change at 8 p.m. on a Wednesday, not AEW. Sorry to disappoint you. You have the NBA to thank for that. Don't blame me. But there is a pay-per-view on Sunday, and I have got predictions. So you are not getting rid of me that easily. This is your AEW Double or Nothing 2021 preview and predictions with yours truly. I am the Solemn Monster. Thank you for joining me just a little bit earlier than normal on a Wednesday night. And hit that subscribe button as well. You could also save yourself 20% off any shirt in our Sound Off store. Solemn Monster Sounds Off on ProWrestlingTees.com. Use the code MEMORIAL at checkout. It is the Memorial Day sale, the annual Memorial Day sale, starting just a little bit earlier, kicked off earlier today. That sale runs through Monday, so go ahead and punch that code in if you want to pick up a Solemn Monster Sounds Off t-shirt. This Sunday is AEW Double or Nothing 3. You believe the third one already? Only the first one took place in Las Vegas. It's got the whole Vegas theme, and only the first one was in Vegas. This now is going to be the second year in a row that Double or Nothing takes place not in Nevada, but in Florida. Jacksonville. Daly's Place, to be specific. On pay-per-view, start time of 8 p.m. Eastern, but this will be, for the first time since the beginning of the pandemic, the largest AEW crowd at Daly's Place in over a year. They are expecting a capacity crowd on Sunday. They can fit about 5,000 people into the venue. I don't know, as of this morning, how many tickets are out. I don't know how many tickets exactly have been moved. My understanding is that number is over 4,000. I don't know how close to 5 it is. But there's going to be more people in the building on Sunday than there have been since all of this wackiness began. And that is going to be music to my ears. That's what I've been waiting for fans to get back in the buildings at or near capacity. WWE also running shows on the road for the first time starting in July. So at least to the extent of wrestling events, it does feel a little bit more like normal is within reach. Nobody wants to watch a wrestling show in front of no people, and nobody wants to watch a wrestling show in front of half a crowd. That's no fun. So it should feel, the energy level should feel a little bit up on Sunday. I want to mention one more note here, because we got some good friends at WrestleRumble.com. They are friends of the show, partners with the Sound Off when it comes to all of their contests. Not only does WrestleRumble.com have one contest for you this week, they've got two contests. Entries are open through Sunday for the Double or Nothing Pick'em. Double or Nothing Pick'em, and this is going to be, I believe this is going to be the first AEW Pick'em contest that Wrestle Rumble has hosted in, is it about 2 years? It's been a while. And boy, is it a big one. The top prize is $1,000 cash. And then, of course, the big one, which is also coming up this weekend, is going to be the Great American Belt Bash. This is the one that I'm excited about because Wrestle Rumble is giving away belts to 5 different winners, including, and you can see them on your screen right now, the prizes include John Cena's Spinner U.S. title, probably not made in China after this week. Also, the retired WWE United States title, the current United States title, the IWGP U.S. title, and the WCW U.S. title, which I was always fond of the WCW U.S. belt more than the one that WWE used. Just think it looks nicer. And you could own it. It's only $1 to enter. $1. You can enter as many times as you want. You have until Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern to sign up. And I'm going to have the great fortune of picking the 5 winners live on my Double or Nothing review stream immediately after the pay-per-view on Sunday. I hope you are planning on joining me then, because if not, then what the hell is going on up here, man? Come on, use your head. There's only one review that you need to pay attention to on Sunday, right here. You guys know where to come. So let's go through this card here. We'll go match by match from the bottom. We'll work our way up to the main event, or what should be the main event. I will give my predictions and my thoughts as we go along here. Feel free to chime in the chat. We got a lot of people who are already joining us and a lot of people who I'm sure will be tuning in a little bit late. Again, normally people are used to the post-Dynamite reviews, but we are live a little bit early tonight, so I'm sure some people are not aware. No matter how hard you try to promote it, some people, I'm sure I'm going to get some messages at 10 o'clock. Hey, where are you? I thought you were doing your predictions at 10 p.m., but this will be archived for everybody. So AEW announced earlier today, which they were not planning on doing. AEW was not going to announce the pre-show match, the buy-in pre-show match, until Dynamite on Friday, which is when Dynamite is airing this week. That's the go-home show. Apparently, one of their international announcers, I think their Italian announcer, accidentally leaked the information on Twitter. So, oops, now we know the match, which is great for me because now I can include it in my predictions. The match is going to be Serena Deeb defending her NWA Women's Championship against the very first AEW Women's Champion in Riho. We have not seen Riho in a couple of months since she made her return. Serena, in fact, just returned recently after 3 months off from a knee injury. And because of the pandemic, Riho was in Japan unable to travel, which is why for about 11 months, we didn't see her in AEW. She just vanished. Now, she wasn't sitting at the home where she lives, at the apartment, munching on snacks, watching television on her couch. She was keeping busy. She was killing it, apparently, in stardom, based on everything I've been reading about what she was doing in her AEW absence. So she was keeping busy over there in Japan until she was finally able to come back a few months ago. And who did Riho wrestle in her first match back? Why, it was Serena Deeb. First round match in the Women's World Title Eliminator back in February on Dynamite, which was a match that Riho won. And that was non-title for Serena's title, obviously. But that was a Riho victory, and so this is Serena's chance here to steal a win back from the woman who beat her a few months ago. Their first match was really good. I actually felt like it was one of Riho's best matches since coming to AEW. They had a really good match, which, you know, what makes it even more impressive is that, you know, she didn't hurt her knee in the match. Serena came into that match with a bum knee. So as good as that match was, she wrestled hurt that night on Dynamite. And so with her knee not at 100%, if she can go out there and have the kind of match that she and Riho had a few months ago, what kind of match do you think the two of them can have when Serena is back to 100%? So I expect this match to be very good. And this time, though, a little bit of a different outcome. My prediction is that Serena retains the title. So there you go. We have the Casino Battle Royal. Is it Battle Royal or Battle Royale? How do they say it? Yeah, so the old school fan of me wants to say Battle Royale. That's like the old school way of saying it. That's the James Bond way of saying it. Casino Royale. Actually, I think that's the idea. I think that's why they call it that. So we'll call it the Battle Royale, with the winner earning a future AEW World Championship match. As of a few hours ago, the lineup looked like this. Christian Cage, Matt Sydal, Penta El Cero Miedo, Powerhouse Hobbs, Brian Pillman Jr., Griff Garrison, Dustin Rhodes, Jungle Boy, Anthony Bowens, Max Caster, Private Party, Colt Cabana, Evil Uno, Preston Vance, Matt Hardy, QT Marshall, Nick Camarado, and more names to be announced. Now, you know how this all works whenever they have these battle royals on these pay-per-views. They usually leave one slot open at the end for the Joker, right? The Joker entrant, the Joker card. Usually number 21 in the battle royal is a surprise entrant. So I believe there will be another surprise entrant into the battle royal this time. Interestingly, they announced on Dynamite last week that Paul White is going to be doing commentary. He'll be sitting in doing commentary for the Battle Royal. Of course, every week he's on AEW Dark Elevation doing commentary with Tony Schiavone. And I just thought, well, it's kind of interesting. I mean, it could just be their way of getting him on the pay-per-view, or it could be more. And then I've been reading about how in the last few weeks, very recently, on Dark, right, or Dark Elevation, I guess, they've been teasing something with Big Show and QT Marshall. QT Marshall has been in action, and QT Marshall apparently was, you know, he was mocking. Could not have timed that any better. We got the Big Show Super Chat from Jacob Donnelly. You did that on purpose, didn't you? You knew that I was going to talk about Paul White. As soon as I mention Big Show, I hear, love Jacob. We'll get to your Super Chat here in a little bit. Could not have timed that. Jacob is the man. That's right. Chase in the chat says Jacob is the man, man. Fucking timing on that. You guys, let me tell you. You guys are on point with these Super Chats. Kind of scared me a little bit, too. I thought that was Mantar for a second, but I think he's the $75 one. Anyway, so apparently they've been teasing an issue on Dark Elevation between Paul White and QT Marshall. There were comments that were made, and Tony Schiavone, you know, said, well, he knows you're here. And Big Show's response was, well, he might feel that I'm here. Pretty quick. So, remember, as part of his deal when he signed with AEW, he is going to wrestle. We have not seen him wrestle yet. We don't know how many matches he's going to have each year. He shouldn't be in the ring that often anyway. But we have yet to see him in the ring at all. And now, all of a sudden, there's a battle royal. QT Marshall is in the battle royal. They're teasing issues between them on the YouTube shows. I'm just saying, you put two and two together here. I predict the surprise Joker entrant is going to be Paul White. It may just be a case where he stands up at the announce desk and enters himself into the battle royal. But I'm gonna go out on a limb here and predict that he's going to end up being the surprise entrant. He will eliminate QT Marshall from the match. He will not win. He himself will be eliminated, very likely by some of QT's men, maybe a Nick Camarado. Right? What better way to give him a big moment than to dump Paul White out over the top rope, right? Throw a giant out of the ring. But that kind of gives him a moment in the battle royal. He eliminate QT Marshall. Gives a fuck. It's QT Marshall. Get him out of there. So that's my prediction as far as the surprise entrant. As far as a winner is concerned, I think, and he's the predictable pick, but I think in this case, predictable is going to be what happens. I think Christian Cage is going to win the Battle Royal, and he'll have a world championship match, a future world title match, in his back pocket. You know, that he can, I hate to use cash in, but I mean, you know what I mean. He'll be able to cash in on that whenever he wants to. And look, Christian against Kenny Omega is a match that I believe absolutely is going to happen at some point this summer. It's just a matter of when. So if he earns the title match by winning the Battle Royal, you don't have to worry about rankings. You don't have to worry about setting things up in a storyline sense. He'll have that championship match guaranteed. And then it's just a matter of when Tony Khan wants to go ahead and pull the trigger and do it. Does he want to wait until the end of the summer and do it all out? Does he want to do it on a special episode of Dynamite in July? He has that option. But I think Christian is going to win. We have Hangman. Adam Page. Oh, Jacob thinks Jungle Boy is going to win. Jungle Boy earning a world title match. It's possible. I don't see it happening here. Hangman Adam Page. Page and Cage. One-on-one against Brian Cage of Team Taz. Brian Cage got a very surprising win many weeks ago on Dynamite over Hangman Page. And, you know, the story talked about how it kind of ruined Hangman's positioning in the rankings, and now he's got to start to kind of scratch and claw and work his way back up. It basically took him out of any kind of immediate contention for Kenny Omega's title, which is good, because that's not a match that should be happening now anyway. That is not a match that was going to happen at Double or Nothing. That is not a match they should even be thinking about until, at the earliest, the end of the summer. That would be the earliest time I would even think about putting Omega and Hangman one-on-one back in the ring together. Here, Hangman's looking for revenge. He's got friends in the Dark Order to fend off the other members of Team Taz, so they kind of cancel each other out. I think Hangman gets his win back, and they start to slowly heat him back up. I checked the AEW men's rankings. He's not even in the top five. So, you know, again, if you believe the rankings are to be taken seriously, it's going to be a while, I think, before he kind of works his way back up to that top spot, and that's fine. Take your time. Take your time heating him back up. He's not as hot as he was 6 months or 9 months ago. I actually think getting people back in the building and getting back on the road is going to be a huge help to people like Hangman Page, to someone like Orange Cassidy, who I think, you know, you can easily forget how over he is with a lot of the AEW fan base. It's like, all right, Orange Cassidy, we've seen it, whatever. He's been around for a while now. When they go back out on the road, if he's going from town to town and getting the kind of reactions that he was getting pre-pandemic, he'll remind people real quick of how over he really is. And I think for Hangman Page, the same can be said for him. He's one of those guys, the fan interaction and the fan reaction to him was very important to that character. And without it, it's hurt him. I mean, that and the fact that they really haven't creatively had anything for him to do, that hurts him more. But I think he's going to be one of those guys that really benefits once they get back out on the road. But like I was saying before, he wins here and then at the earliest, All Out. And if it were me, I wouldn't even do the match with him and Omega until Full Gear in November. I would build to Full Gear Omega versus Hangman for the AEW World title. But as far as Cage and Page, if Hangman wins here, that one win apiece, they could set up the rubber match for an episode of Dynamite in a few weeks. Run it back one more time, maybe add a stipulation to it. We've got the American Dream, baby. Cody Rhodes, one-on-one with Anthony Ogogo, member of the Nightmare Factory, right? Is it the Nightmare Factory or the Factory, whatever they're calling it? Cody has been feuding with QT Marshall and the Nightmare Factory family for a little while now. It has not been very exciting. It's been something for him to do. It gets him on television, but not very exciting creatively as far as what they've had Cody doing. But they have been trying hard to get a go-go over as this killer. You know, with the boxing background and the one punch, you know, the one punch to the liver can take a man out. All it takes is one punch to put his opponent down. They've really been building that up for a while now. Meanwhile, we still don't know if the guy can actually wrestle. We still have not seen him in a match in the ring on Dynamite. And I'm assuming any of the dark shows for longer than 90 seconds. His matches have not gone very long, but he hasn't even had that many of them. So I think back to when Jade Cargill did the tag team match and teamed up with Shaq against Cody and Red Velvet. I was saying the same thing. I didn't know what to expect from Jade Cargill. She looks like a million bucks, but when the bell rings and she's in between the ropes, what can she do other than just stand there and pose and call people a bitch? Can she actually work? And for the limited amount of stuff that she did in that match, I thought, all right, she was pretty impressive. And then I saw her first match, singles match. Wasn't very long, but she showed a lot of positive signs. Now, she's still very green. She still has a ways to go. Maybe Ogogo is such a weird name. Maybe Ogogo is the same way. Maybe he'll really go into this match on Sunday and he'll show me something. Maybe they've been hiding him out in the factory, teaching him all these great moves that he just hasn't had the chance to use. And Cody is probably a great person for him to work with because Cody's going to want to go in there and make him look as good as he can possibly make him look. Because, especially if Cody's going to win, it's better for a go-go to look good and to dominate for part of the match so that Cody can make his big comeback, right? So it's in his best interest that a go-go goes in there and looks great. But we still don't know what we're going to get in this guy because he's done nothing. And yet here he is in a pretty high-profile pay-per-view match. You know, for him, it's sink or swim here. Cody calling himself the American Dream for one night and cutting that patriotic promo that he did a few weeks ago that veered off into all these different directions gives me a reason to believe that an Anthony Ogogo win is not what we are going to get on Sunday. I mean, just him using his father's nickname alone for one night makes me go, he's going to lose the one time he calls himself the American Dream. It doesn't seem likely that Cody would go into a match like that and would lose. But I'm going to go with the common sense prevailing here. What I hope would be common sense, which is you get the new guy over. Cody doesn't need the win. What does he gain by winning against this guy? What does he gain? You're trying to get this guy over as a killer, right? Well, this is the biggest match he's had so far. And if there is anybody on that roster who I would say is Teflon and that he can lose and it doesn't really affect his status because of where he's slotted on that roster, it's Cody. And maybe Jericho. Certain guys can afford to lose and it doesn't hurt him at all. Cody already had the match with QT Marshall. He won. So I think this should be an Anthony Ogogo win. I'm going to go ahead and predict that he walks away with the victory and then Cody disappears to go do diaper duty for a while. Miro defends the TNT Championship against the Murder Hawk Monster, Lance Archer. Took me a while talking about it for weeks and weeks and weeks and months about Miro. I tried to warm up to the video game stuff. I used to like video games. I mean, I don't hate video games. I used to play them. But Miro, of all people, coming in, I know he's a big gamer. He's got his Twitch or YouTube or whatever it is that he does on the side. But when Miro left WWE, when he came to AEW, if you recall, think back to when he debuted, right? And here's a guy who came in and he was talking about glass ceilings and being held back, like a lot of the WWE guys do. And some of them are legitimately held back for reasons that are just completely foreign to me. But a lot of times, because we hear it so often, it just comes off as sour grapes. And after hearing it so many times, you kind of get sick of it. It's like, well, here's another ex-WWE guy coming in and bitching about his treatment in WWE. Forget that. That's your past life. It is behind you now. You look forward. But this is what Miro talked about when he came in. So you would think that a guy who felt like he was held back the way that Miro thought he was held back and held down, right? The brass ring. That this guy would be pissed off. He would be coming in. He'd be a man on a mission. His mission was just to come in and destroy and show everybody what they've been missing out on for years. And instead he came in as the best man and he was, basically playing video game goof with Kip Sabian. Seemed a very odd thing for someone who could have come in and been killing dudes from day one. And it just went on and on and on. And finally they did Arcade Anarchy. And that really was the turning point for Miro. Because once the Arcade Anarchy stuff was done, and he turned on Sabian, they did the angle a few weeks ago where he broke his arm in the door. Sabian, by the way, just had shoulder surgery. He's legitimately going to be out for a while. But once he flipped that switch, we started to see the Miro that I think a lot of people were expecting when he first showed up on the scene in AEW. It's like, where's this guy been? Going out there, just ripping dudes apart, cutting these intense promos. This is what this guy was built for. You know, eventually the day will come where he'll go babyface and maybe we'll get like Rusev Day Miro, where he'll be showing off the funny side of his personality. But, you know, coming in and talking about how you were held back and you could have been so much bigger than you were, it's done nothing to show that to us so far, but now we're finally getting to see signs of that. He had that match with Darby Allin a few weeks ago for the TNT Championship, and it was a very good match. And Darby Allin had a lot to do with that. Darby Allin is very good. He's very good at taking a beating and being the babyface in peril and flying all over the place and taking risks. But Miro was in there with him one-on-one, and they had a really good match. But in the end, Miro was too dominant, he was too strong, and he won. And he ended up with the TNT Championship. And now it's like Miro all of a sudden has this new lease on life. We're finally seeing the version of him that we should have seen from day one. Then you have Lance Archer. A guy who for so long it felt like AEW didn't even know what to do with him. He'd show up every week and Jake Roberts would cut promos, but that was it. They didn't have anything for him to do. Now think back to a year ago. Think back to Double or Nothing a year ago. What was Lance Archer doing? Lance Archer was in the finals of the TNT title tournament, losing to Cody. That's where he was a year ago. And so here we are now 1 year later, and Lance Archer, now a well, more of a baby face. I don't know what you would call him. I guess he's the de facto baby face here in this match. But here he is now challenging for the championship. Now, I don't really want either of these guys to lose. Miro just won the title. I don't think it would be right for him to immediately turn around and lose the championship. But then you have Lance Archer, who a year ago challenged for it and lost. And now he's going to show up here again and lose. I mean, that doesn't feel right either. I just don't think it would be wise to beat either of these guys. So then what do you do? What do you do in this circumstance? Well, you do a finish where neither man wins. Whether you want to do a double DQ, a double countout, which I'm usually not a fan of, but you have an out. It's the TNT title. It's basically their version of a television title. It has a time limit attached to it, which I believe is 20 minutes, I think. So you can have a match where these guys go, I don't even know if I would want this match to go 20 minutes, maybe 15. But maybe they go to a time limit draw. It's pretty even. They're beating the hell out of each other. Maybe they brawl out of the ring. They brawl to the back. But you do a non-finish where neither man wins. That way you can bring it back for a rematch. And at that point, Miro would pick up the win. But you can't just do one match between these two guys. You can get two or three matches out of this. So why pick a winner on day one? It's not like it's the main event where you have to have a winner. It wouldn't be right to not have a winner. You know, it's a title match in the middle of the card. There's nothing wrong with having both guys, you know, fight one another until the bell rings and there's no winner and you bring it back for a rematch. And so that's what I think is going to happen here. Maybe a time limit expires. We get a second match out of it. Miro is not losing the TNT title. So 100%, whatever happens here, he is retaining that championship. But this should not be the end of him and Lance Archer in the ring. Shout out to everybody joining us in the chat, including our mods, Uffman. Good to hear from Uffman Entertainment, one of our blue wrenches in the chat. Jacob wants to know maybe if Jake turns on Archer. No. You know, Jake, I like Jake in this role, but he feels kind of useless in that role now where Archer is doing a lot of the talking for himself. You know, at first when it was Jake doing the talking and Archer doing the murdering, it made more sense. But now Archer, especially as a babyface now, he's gotten most of his own promos. I don't know. I mean, Jake, there's really no purpose for Jake to be in that spot. I think they see value in having him around. I think it's good for Jake, honestly, to be around. To be around the younger guys. Some of the younger guys have commented about how influential he's been. He gives advice to a lot of people. You know, Jake the Snake has been around for a long time. He's very good at certain aspects of wrestling, surprise, surprise, especially on promos. And I think he can be very beneficial to a lot of the younger guys on that roster. Maybe this isn't the spot for him anymore. Just feels like Archer doesn't really need him. So Jake turning on him and doing what? Who would he go with? Miro? Miro doesn't need him either. If you can find somebody who would benefit by having Jake as their manager, I'm open to the idea, but turning on Lance Archer and doing what exactly? Turning on Lance Archer and going home? I mean, if he turned on him, he would end up with somebody else. I just don't know who that person would be. We have Sting and Darby Allin in a tag team match taking on Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky. This is going to be Sting's first live match in front of an audience since his match with Seth Rollins at Night of Champions in 2015. I think a lot of us remember what happened in that match, unfortunately. This will not be a cinematic match. AEW has made that very clear, unlike Sting's first match, which was very well done. I enjoyed that match against Team Taz. It was well shot. A lot of good action in that match. But now, this is going to be Sting's first real in-ring wrestling match in 6 years. It's a long time. The last time Sting and Darby teamed up against Team Taz, they came out with a win. They were victorious in that match. Scorpio and Page, they're still a relatively new team. They could benefit from a big win here. This could go either way. The outcome here, it's one of those matches on this card where I feel like the outcome is a lot less predictable than it is for some of the other key matches on this card. So it could go either way. To me, Sting wrestling his first proper match in 6 years, his first match in front of a live audience, Darby Allin having just come off a huge loss, losing his TNT championship to Miro, I think the babyfaces go over. I'm picking Sting and Darby for the win, which probably leads to some singles matches with Scorpio and with Ethan Page. This is not going to be the end of the issue here, but we're going to see singles matches coming out of this. I just think the babyfaces are going to pick up the win. Hopefully Sting at 62 years old, he doesn't look it. You know, he doesn't sound it. He comes out there. He's all, you know, energetic and everything. Of course, wearing makeup on your face helps as far as, you know, hiding his age. But 62 years old with spinal stenosis, I would hope that Sting is smart enough to not take any stupid risks in this match. And that neither of his two opponents are dumb enough to ask him to take any unnecessarily stupid risks in this match. No buckle bombs. No buckle bombs for the Stinger. Scorpio Sky, he was on Sunday night's, the Sunday night's main event pod. I want to make sure I get the name right. The Sunday night's main event podcast. And he said one of his buddies on the WWE roster, he didn't name who it was, but he said one of his buddies on the WWE roster actually texted him and said, "Bro, Sting was my favorite wrestler growing up. Don't hurt him." So I think he'll be okay. I'm sure they'll take good care of him. And, you know, I mean, Sting's not a cripple. He's not a fucking invalid. But, you know, again, you got to be careful. These guys, they get older. All these heroes from your childhood, you know, everybody ages. Father Time catches up with all of us. And Sting has had issues in the past. It was very sad, you know, when I watched what happened with him and Rollins. And Sting, man, you know, to his credit, he was like, "I'm finishing this match." The guy had spaghetti legs. He could barely stand up straight. And somehow he finished the match. He put Seth Rollins in the Scorpion Deathlock. And then Seth pulled him in for that cradle. He finished the match. But watching him in there kind of stammer, you know, stumble around like that, it was sad. But it just goes to show you one wrong bump can just screw you all up. So hopefully they'll be smart about whatever they do here. Sting wrestling in front of a full capacity crowd is an attraction. It is an attraction. It's smart to do it, I think, on the show in front of, you know, all the people they'll have there. So if you have a ticket to the show on Sunday, you know, it's a nice thing to say that you were a part of, that you got an opportunity. And how many of these are going to be left to see Sting in the ring live, not in a cinematic match, wrestling? He'll do a certain number of these each year, but you know what? Every match that he has, you're getting that much closer to the end. So if you have a ticket to the show, it's an attraction that you can say you were part of. Let me remind everybody that we are going to take phone calls a little bit later on. We're not going to do them right now. The lines are open. So if you are wondering if we're going to take calls, if you want to call in, the number is on your screen right now, 989-282-SOLO. That's 989-282-7656. We haven't done calls in a while, so if you want to talk about AEW Double or Nothing or have predictions of your own and questions, not only are we going to do Super Chats in a little bit here, but phone lines are open. So we'll get to that here in just a little bit. I thank everybody who's joining me right now. I'm glad you are spending at least part of your Wednesday night with me here on the channel. Normally we're live at 10 p.m., but again, no Dynamite tonight, preempted by the NBA. That will be airing on Friday at 10. I'll have a rundown of what's scheduled on that card here in just a little bit, so we'll go through that here in just a second. But we got more Double or Nothing, including the AEW Women's Championship with the reigning champion Hikaru Shida defending her title against the number one contender, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. It was 1 year ago at this very event that Shida won the title from the native beast, Nyla Rose. And she has had a 1 year uninterrupted title reign. It's It's been 1 year as AEW Women's Champion for Shida. She has gotten wins over Penelope Ford, Thunder Rosa, Abaddon, Big Swole, Anna Jay, Rio Mizunami, and Ty Conti. Britt Baker, on the other hand, she's had quite a few matches that, you know, she's had some good matches that she's been a part of, and she's been part of some stinkers over the last year. But she had the best match of her life a couple months ago. Unsanctioned lights out on Dynamite in the main event. A losing effort to Thunder Rosa. But remember, unsanctioned matches do not count towards win-loss records in AEW. So the fact that she lost didn't matter because she came out of that match a winner. That match was fucking great. She had the performance of her fucking life in that match. And she came out a bigger star than she was when she walked to the ring that night. We already knew Thunder Rosa was great. Love Thunder Rosa. But Britt Baker came out even bigger than she was when she walked in. And I said at the time, all they have to do now, things are perfectly set up. If you looked at the rankings, there were a few people ahead of her. She was in like the fourth spot, I think, on the list. And again, she started knocking off people one by one until she landed in the top spot. And here we are, and everything is perfectly set up. Britt Baker, she's done some of the best character work of her career since turning heel. The difference between Britt Baker, you know, babyface to the way she is now as a heel. I mean, you talk about doing somebody a world of good. It changed this woman's career, going from babyface to heel. So everything for her has been building to this moment. Everything for her has been building to this event. She, from the moment this company started, if you look at the press junkets and the posters and the graphics, Britt Baker and Nyla Rose were the two performers that were front and center representing the women's division. Britt Baker was the female face of the company from day one, but she has yet to hold the championship. That changes on Sunday. This is probably, in my opinion, the second most predictable outcome for a match on this show outside of the main event for the world title. Is this match right here? If Hikaru Shida walks out of Double or Nothing on Sunday with the AEW Women's title, I will be shocked. She will not walk out with the championship. Britt Baker is going to win the AEW Women's title. The Good Doctor will begin her run, and at some point, things will come back around to her and Thunder Rosa again, and I think Thunder Rosa ends up being the one to take that title from her, but not for a while. Remember, Thunder Rosa isn't even exclusive to AEW. She's signed to the NWA, at least through the end of the year. And I saw that the match that she had with Camille on NWA Power this week apparently went to a no contest. The stipulation was that if Thunder Rosa lost, she would no longer be able to wrestle for any company outside of the NWA. So I guess by virtue of there being a no contest, she can continue to wrestle for other promotions, which she was always going to do anyway. She doesn't just wrestle for AEW. She wrestles for other promotions as well. You think she's going to just stop? So Thunder Rosa's not going anywhere. And I think she's probably the one to take that title from Britt. Not now, but when the time is right, she'll be the one to take that title from Britt Baker. By the way, the AEW Women's title. Yeah, I was thinking about this before when I was talking about Wrestle Rumble and the great contest they're doing on Sunday. A lot of really cool replica belts, you know, U.S. title belts in that contest. So I'm thinking about belts. The AEW Women's title, you know, if I had one request for the people in that company, get yourself a new belt. That belt is ridiculously small. I know they have some small women in that division, but I'm sorry. That belt is, it's ugly. It's just too small. They need a new women's championship belt. If I'm fighting for a title, then I want it to be something that is desirable, that I look at and go, holy shit, I need that. I'm going to fight for that. I'm going to spill blood for that. If I saw this women's title, I'd be like, yeah, okay, you know, you want it, you can have it. It's yours, you know. Here you go. Like, no. Get a new women's belt, please. Britt Baker, when Britt Baker becomes champion, guess what? She can have her own belt commissioned. They can create a new belt, and she can be the first person to hold that new belt. We have John Moxley and Eddie Kingston challenging for the AEW Tag Team Championships against Matt and Nick, the Young Bucks. Now I mentioned, you know, Cody was going to be going away to change diapers soon because Brandy is pregnant. So is Renee Young. Renee Young is pregnant. I saw pictures of Renee Young online. I don't know where, what website or magazine they were from. She looked like she was about to pop. She looked like she's due any day. Apparently, their daughter is due sometime in June. So that could be June 1st. That could be June 21st. I don't know, but they're having a kid very soon as well. Having said that, I'm going to go a different way on this one. I don't think that Moxley goes away just because of that. I don't think he's going to disappear for a while. The Young Bucks, they've been champions since November. Been champions since November of 2020. Since then, they have turned heel. They were baby faces. Actually, there was a period they went through. I don't know what the fuck they were. I don't think they knew what they were. They were a bunch of little bratty, snot-nosed teenage punks who didn't know if they were good guys or bad guys or what they were. Now, at least, we know what they are. They're a couple of pricks. And you know what? It works for them. They come across naturally that way on television. So they've actually been more enjoyable in this role because now they can come out there and they can act with their $10,000 Dior sneakers. And Matt Jackson came out one week wearing a bathing suit for some weird fucking reason and flip-flops. And then, you know, Nick Jackson's out there with fucking earrings hanging out of his ear. They look completely ridiculous, but it fits the gimmick because they're supposed to be. They're supposed to be hated. You go to look at these guys and go, my God, what a couple of douchebags. I wish somebody would beat the hell out of them. I mean, that's kind of the point. So I think in this heel role, they've been thriving. It's a natural role for them, especially Nick Jackson when he does his bad acting on television. At least now he can blame it on, well, I'm a heel. I'm doing it on purpose. He can't act for his life. So as long as he's a heel, he can blame it on that. John Moxley and Eddie Kingston is the pairing I didn't know I needed, but I'm glad we have it. These two have incredible working chemistry together on camera. These two can have, frankly, I think these two could end up having a sitcom together. These two could have a sitcom. Hey, Warner Media, right? They got all these different media properties. I want a John Moxley, Eddie Kingston show on HBO Max. I want you to make it happen. I don't know who I have to talk to make it happen. This seems like it's above Tony Khan's pay grade. Whoever I have to talk to about this, let's go. Let's get some hashtags going here. John Moxley, Eddie Kingston, some kind of like buddy show, HBO Max, half an hour. It doesn't have to be longer than that. I'd be down for that. But they have a natural chemistry, and you know, if putting the gold on them means that they stick together for a little bit longer, then you know what? I'm all for it. I think it's time to get the belts off the Bucks because they're probably going to end up back with them anyway. Moxley and Eddie Kingston are my pick to win. I think we have new tag team champions, but probably not going to hold them for that long. They probably will end up back with the Young Bucks, but it's okay. Take a little break in the middle here of this run and give Moxley and Kingston a chance to hold them for a little while. I think it could be fun. They're a fun pairing on TV. So I'm going with Moxley and Kingston for the win. We have the Inner Circle against the Pinnacle in the second ever Stadium Stampede match. If the Inner Circle loses, they must disband as a group forever. Forever. Fightful says there will be, quote, a significant live element to this match. Unlike the first one, last year's Stampede, which was taped, they filmed the entire thing overnight over a period of 12 hours. That was according to Chris Jericho on his podcast. So if this thing goes 12 hours, I will never review another AEW show ever again. This match should not be happening. Let us not forget, this match should not be happening. Not in this order. This match should not be happening. Blood and Guts should have been the end of it. Blood and Guts is not a setup to anything else. Blood and Guts is what you build to. War Games is the climax. And they did things in reverse this time, where they had the Blood and Guts match first, and that then built to the Stadium Stampede. So that, to me, is just very backwards to begin with. And I said a few weeks ago in my review, if they had any sense, and maybe they didn't, all right, to be fair to them, everything now with the COVID stuff and the guidelines and things opening up, you're taking this stuff on a week-by-week basis. You know, when they put tickets on sale for that first batch of shows in July, the number of people they were expecting for those shows is going to be very different than they're allowed to have in the building in June. In fact, they just made an announcement earlier today that in one of the, I don't know if it was in Texas or where, one of the venues, they've just opened up more tickets because the COVID guidelines have changed and now they can allow more people in the building. So it's very possible that they didn't know that they were going to be back on the road this quickly. But I have to think they had some sense that they were planning on going back on the road in July. And if they had an inclination that this was going to happen, I cannot for the life of me understand why you would not build to the Stadium Stampede as the first match at Double or Nothing, have the Pinnacle win, and then wait until you're back on the road in Texas or some other city in Florida, wherever they're going to be, and you pay it off on the road in front of a full crowd with Blood and Guts. And the only conclusion I could come to when I first talked about this a few weeks ago is they're running a lot of smaller buildings. Maybe those buildings are too small to accommodate two rings. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe that went into their thinking. But it just seems to me the timing was just, you could have made that work. And it would have worked out a lot better that way. And you do the matches in the correct order, but that's not how it worked out. The Pinnacle got the win in the War Games match, which they needed to. They're the new group. They're trying to establish this new heel faction. So they got the outcome right in that match. Bringing it back again, and with this stipulation, would lead you to believe that the Inner Circle, which lost last year's Stampede match, would lead you to believe that the Inner Circle is going to get their win back here. That the babyfaces will get their revenge and that they will come out of this match victorious. But I'm going to say common sense prevails. And the Pinnacle gets its second straight win over the Inner Circle. That's my prediction. Two straight wins for MJF and the Pinnacle. Inner Circle have been around since day one in AEW. They've had a good run. Not a great run. You know, they're not going to go down as one of the all-time great factions, but they've had a good run. They've done all they can do. First as heels, now as baby faces. It feels like the time is right for them to go their separate ways. You can accomplish that while at the same time giving the Pinnacle a second straight win. That really establishes them as the dominant group in AEW, and then Jericho can go do his own thing, Sammy can do his own thing. Nobody's saying they can't still be friends, they just won't be a group anymore. Santana and Ortiz deserve more recognition in the tag team division, so imagine Moxley and Kingston defending the tag team titles in a program against LAX. That could be fun. Or if the Bucks keep the belts, or the Bucks eventually get the belts back if they lose them, then they can defend against Santana and Ortiz. Maybe Santana and Ortiz are the ones to take the tag team titles from the Young Bucks if they don't drop them. But I think the Pinnacle should get the win here. I think they will get the win here, so they are my pick to win the Stadium Stampede match. And even though I said, you know, this match shouldn't be happening, again, I would have done it in a different order. But it doesn't mean that this won't turn out to be a fun match. I thought last year's match was, for the most part, it was very fun. You know, there was some stuff they did that was too goofy for me that I wasn't really a fan of. But you know, a lot of the funny stuff with Sammy being chased on the football field, running away from the horse and stuff. You know, I got a kick out of it. That was played up for comedy a lot more than this feud has been. So I'm sure there's going to be some funny spots in this match. I wouldn't play this match up for comedy. But, you know, you're going to have your comedy spots here in this match. And Kenny Omega in the main event. I don't know if this match is going on last or if the Stampede is going to go on last. Stampede went on last year. And now we've got Kenny Omega, the belt collector, as the world champion. He's supposed to be the biggest attraction in the company. He should go on last. He defends the AEW world title against Pac and Orange Cassidy in a triple threat match. And somebody in the chat will correct me if I am wrong, but I do believe that this is the very first triple threat main event on an AEW pay-per-view. So it feels a little unique in that way, I guess, because we don't see them do this too many times. Omega and Pac have had some great matches together. That's why I was pulling for Pac in the match with Cassidy a few weeks ago. I didn't expect Pac to go on to win the world title, but I thought, you know what? At least we'll get a really kick-ass match out of it at Double or Nothing. Omega and Orange Cassidy, they've never had a match against each other, one-on-one. Pac and OC, they had a match a few weeks ago that ended up without a winner when Omega and Don Callis got involved. That led to Tony Khan making this a three-way. This changes absolutely nothing about the outcome. This being a three-way match, the outcome is not in doubt. This is the most predictable outcome on the show. Kenny Omega is not losing the AEW World Championship. Okay? I'll go out on a limb right now and say that. Kenny Omega is walking in with the AEW title. He is walking out with the AEW World title when this show is over. The only real question is, who takes the losing fall? How does it happen? Who gets pinned or who submits, or I guess in this case it's more likely to be a pin. Who takes the pin? That to me is the bigger question in this match. You got three guys in there. We know one of them's not losing, which means one of the other two have to be the one to get pinned to the mat, right? One-on-one, shoulders down to the mat, one, two, three. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Pac or is it going to be Orange Cassidy? Did they put that extra man in this match to protect someone? And if so, who are they trying to protect? Even though, let us not forget, even though it is a triple threat match and you don't have to be pinned to lose the match, I said this with Drew McIntyre on Raw, who is getting fed title shot after title shot. You know, yes, he was not the one who was pinned at Backlash. It was Braun Strowman, but you're in the match. You didn't win. You still fucking lost. So same logic applies here too. But who takes the losing fall? I think it's Pac. I think Pac is going to be the one to take the losing fall in this match. I think they want to keep Orange Cassidy strong coming out of this because they think he's still very over, and he is. With the AEW audience, he is still a very popular attraction. I know not everybody likes him. I know some people think he's a fucking abomination. Some people don't get him. They don't get his shtick. But at the end of the day, for the AEW audience, clearly they like this guy. And he got wins over Chris Jericho in their feud, so they've really tried to elevate him to that next level. I think they want to save him for a singles title match at some point. I don't see them putting the title on him, but I do think you could come back and do Omega and Orange Cassidy one-on-one on a Dynamite episode, maybe in a month or so. He's the one of those two who I think they would want to quote-unquote protect so that they can bring it back for a singles match on television at some point. So I think Pac would be the one in that scenario who ends up taking the losing fall. And I think Pac could be champion one day. I've said that before too. I think Pac one day could be the AEW World Champion. He's that good. But this is not his time. You know, it feels like he is just a warm body to be in there to effectively be fed to Kenny Omega so that we can get beyond this pay-per-view and start building to the next one, because the time is not right for him to be dropping that championship. I feel the same way about Roman Reigns. I love Cesaro, and I was very happy to see Cesaro get a world title main event on pay-per-view for the first time in his career a few weeks ago, and they had an excellent match. But at no point did I feel like he was going to win. And honestly, I didn't feel like he should win. Because Roman Reigns is in the middle of this excellent run. There is nobody that they have right now on that active SmackDown roster who feels like they're in a position where, you know what? Yeah, he feels like the right guy to beat Roman Reigns. So his reign is going to continue for many more months. And I feel a similar way about Kenny Omega. I think you actually have more options. You have better options on the AEW roster than WWE has on their roster for Roman Reigns at the moment. But I feel similarly about both guys. It's too soon. But Pac, I think, can have his day. One day, Pac will have his day. Today, though, is today is not that day. But you know what? Pac has beaten Omega before, and I'm sure they'll play that up on commentary. It's probably one of the reasons why they wanted him in this match, too, to plant that kind of little bit of doubt. He's beaten Omega before. He could do it again. He's not going to do it again. It's not going to happen. So I've already talked about Hangman and where I see that going as far as Omega. I mean, look, when I look ahead, you know, before I get the inevitable question, well, who do you think is going to be Kenny Omega? And I've talked about Hangman Page. But is that the only name? No, there's actually one other name who I think would make sense and is over enough with the audience and is one of these sort of AEW homegrown, so to speak, homegrown talents or AEW originals who will be world champion one day. And you know what? He could be Kenny Omega. And that's Darby Allin. Yeah, not everybody is a fan of Hangman Page. Not everybody necessarily thinks he should be the one to beat Kenny Omega, but I think Darby Allin has a good chance of being that guy as well. I don't think you could go wrong with either one of those guys. Darby Allin will be champion one day. Hangman Page will be champion one day. But with Hangman, again, the history is there. The story is there. The past friendship and partnership with Kenny Omega. Full Gear 1 year ago, if they can get that far, you know, they wrestled, he lost. 1 year later, they're back. You know, it's kind of one of those full circle type stories. I think it just works better. And Darby, you know, down the road, Darby will have his moment. But right now, it is not Pac and it's not my doppelganger. It's going to be Kenny Omega. So I mentioned that Dynamite is going to be airing live. It is live on Friday night, 10 p.m. Eastern time. And apparently next week, too. They're going to be preempted again next Wednesday, and again they're going to air at 10 o'clock on Friday next week. They can't move this fucking show to TBS fast enough. This is why I was so complimentary of the news last week that they were moving from TNT to TBS. I fucking hate these preemptions. So if moving to TBS means fewer preemptions or no preemptions at all, I'm all for it. I think it's a great move because this just completely throws my whole schedule off now. But here's the lineup for Friday. I'm not going live after this show on Friday, so if anything important happens, it's the go-home show. I don't expect anything overly important to happen anyway, but if it does, we'll talk about it on the podcast on Sunday. Miro defends the TNT title against Dante Martin of Top Flight. Hangman Page one-on-one against Joey Janela. Cody Rhodes and Anthony Ogogo will have their weigh-in for their Double or Nothing showdown. Jade Cargill will issue an open challenge. We've got Evil Uno and Stu Grayson of the Dark Order against Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. Darby Allin one-on-one against Cesar Bononi. Inner Circle will have a celebration of their greatest moments as they tease that this could be the end of the Inner Circle, which I think it will be. But we found out today that this Inner Circle celebration, apparently Chris Jericho and this man have put their issues aside. It will be hosted, whatever that means. I don't know if it's a video package. I don't know if they're going to be physically in the ring, but it will be hosted by Eric Bischoff. This will be, I believe, his third appearance on Dynamite. So Eric Bischoff will be on Dynamite this week. Orange Cassidy will respond to Kenny Omega's offer to defer his title shot to a later date. And we'll have a celebration of Hikaru Shida's first anniversary as AEW Women's Champion. And they were going to announce the buy-in match, but as I mentioned earlier, one of their Italian announcers leaked the news a little early, and so we already know what the match is. It is Serena Deeb one-on-one against Riho. Like how I say that? Riho. Put my whole neck into it there. Serena Deeb against Riho. I don't know why. I'm such a fucking idiot. Oh, my goodness. But again, the phone number is on the screen, 989-282-SOLO. We will take calls here in just a little bit. Yes, I understand. Robbie says that TBS has... I know about the MLB playoffs. He mentions the NCAA, which I had forgotten about. But I still feel like being on TBS, though, the preemptions are not supposed to be... And actually, one of the executives mentioned this in his quote when the announcement was made, that the preemptions are not going to be as frequent or as disruptive as they would be on TNT. Of course, they may just be saying that because they're trying to put a positive spin on things. You know, once they got the NHL rights, it sounds like that was pretty much the end for AEW on TNT. Were it not for the NHL deal, they wouldn't be moving at all. So maybe that's just their way of spinning it, but I look forward to once they finally make that shift. Once they make that shift over, I think that'll be a good thing. Solid Monster will be very happy once they make that move. Juan in the chat says, it ain't no Jim Cornette reho. Oh, does he have a certain way of saying reho? He's probably got a certain way of saying a lot of the AEW names. Well, he has his way and I have my way. So let's check out some of your super chats. I do appreciate everybody who drops a super chat tonight and has already done so even before I went live. You guys are amazing. Our buddy Hash, he was the first one dropping $5. Best of luck on the stream. The card seems good, but I was hoping to see Omega against Pac only. Enjoy your evening. Yeah, I was hoping for that too, but it'll still be a very good match. Scott Woodford. What's going on, Scott? Finally got to meet Scott in person on the Jericho Cruise. Was planning on going on the Jericho Cruise last year, and I won't be cruising anywhere for a while, but I hope Scott's doing well. Might not be here later, he says, but keep up the good work. Naif Al-Safar, thank you for the $9.99 Super Chat. Manny D, do you remember the Black Rain days? I try to forget the Black Rain days. That was a very dark period for Dustin Rhodes. He was not in good shape during that period. But yes, I remember the Black Rain days. Not fondly, but I remember them. Hash again, why do you think WWE relies on MMA commentators for their main shows instead of retired wrestlers with better knowledge and passion for the business? Well, isn't that the million-dollar question? I already saw a tweet from earlier today, the new Raw announcer Jimmy Smith tweeting just a couple of years ago that he has not watched a moment of pro wrestling since he was a child. This is now who they choose to be the face of Monday Night Raw. They've never cared about whether or not you're a wrestling fan. In fact, I can remember, I don't remember who it was exactly, but somebody who was talking about the interview process when they were auditioning to be an announcer or a backstage interviewer in WWE, talking about the fact that it was actually communicated to them, don't let them know, don't give any indication that you are a longtime fan, because that could actually work against you. And I was blown away when I heard that. I don't know if that still applies today or not, but think about that. If you were all excited to get an audition to be an announcer in WWE, and you walk in there and they, you know, hear you talking about how, boy, I used to watch Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior and the Macho Man and Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, the idea that that could potentially be a mark against you, it just blows my mind. But that's just not what they look for. You know, they're looking for people who have, you know, real sports experience and who are marketable, and the other stuff really just doesn't matter to them, apparently. I mean, I know it doesn't matter to them because I actually listen to the commentary every week. So all you got to do is watch the show. I know a lot of you stopped doing that a long time ago because you actually have a fucking brain in your head. I'm the one who still watches every week. But yeah, there's no good answer for it. I'm going to talk a lot more about that on Sunday, though. A lot more on Sunday. Food Hive, early to the party. What up, chat? Ace of Masta with the $10 super chat drop, double shot or nothing. Well, we know what he'll be doing on Sunday. Ace of Masta's already got his plans all worked out. Tenorio 128, who is your favorite Mortal Kombat character? My favorite Mortal Kombat character was always Sub-Zero. It was always Sub-Zero. I think because I think it was blue. I think blue is my favorite color, and I don't know. I always used to gravitate to him whenever I would play the game. More than any other character. So Sub-Zero would be my pick. Ryan Spies, going by an event poster AEW put out today, it seems the rumors of Stampede main eventing are not true, thankfully. It has to be the AEW title match. I don't think Stadium Stampede is main eventing. If I remember last year, I think the title match was Jon Moxley and Brody Lee, which was not their original plan for the world title match last year. I believe it was going to be MJF and Jon Moxley. COVID, it just screwed up all their plans. At the time, you know, Brody Lee and Jon Moxley was really not, it just didn't feel like a pay-per-view main event. They both went out there and they had a great brawl. They had a better match than I thought it would be. But it didn't really feel like a main event. And I think that's why it didn't go on last year. But this year, you've got Omega in there with Orange Cassidy, who is one of the more popular acts in the company, and Pac. And you know you're going to get a great match out of it. So there's no other position for it to be in but the main event. It's your world championship, and you know it's going to be a great match. So why wouldn't you end the show with it unless they had some kind of big spot planned in the Stadium Stampede match? But then I think back to what they did in Blood and Guts, and I'm thinking that might not be such a great idea. They have some big bump or something at the end of that match. Jacob Donnelly, there's that $65 bomb he dropped on my head a little bit earlier in the stream. Could not have timed it any better. Do you expect any major surprises on the show to mirror Jon Moxley's debut from the first Double or Nothing? First show with a full crowd capacity, AEW may want to end the show to get people talking. Well, if Kenny Omega is going to headline the show, then it would be somebody who can walk out and tease being a challenger for Omega and the world title. And when I think of that, you know, as far as available names are concerned, I mean, the first two that come to mind, I mean, I know some people don't want to hear this person's name because they they wish people would just stop talking about him, but CM Punk. But also, look, Daniel Bryan is available. I am not aware, I've not seen anything reported yet about him re-signing with WWE. I kind of feel like that's going to be what ends up happening. I really hope he doesn't. I really would like to see him just try his hand somewhere else, maybe even a few different places. But let me propose a scenario to you. Let me, because I've thought about this. Let me propose a scenario to you. And you tell me what you think about this. So on Sunday, we have this main event. Kenny Omega and Pac and Orange Cassidy, and they go out there and they have this great triple threat match, right? Kenny Omega wins, and he and Don Callis are celebrating with the championship and gloating. And all of a sudden, we hear the familiar strings of a certain song come over the PA system at Daly's Place. And a lot of the hardcore fans in the crowd, they know what this music represents. It's the final countdown. Tony Khan has not made any bones about the fact that he'll break open the checkbook to pay to have the rights to certain pieces of music. He's done it for, three different people so far. Done it for Jungle Boy. He's done it for Orange Cassidy. He's done it for Jon Moxley. Imagine all of a sudden hearing Final Countdown and you have 5,000 people in Daly's Place Bryan Danielson comes walking through that tunnel with everybody chanting the Final Countdown. How fucking cool would that be? I think I just want to see another, at least one more entrance in his career of him coming out to that music. I have a lot of fond memories of going to the Ring of Honor shows when he was still there. And when that music would hit, man, and it would, you know, you had 1,500 people, 2,000 people if it was Hammerstein. But man, you know, when that song would come on, you had everybody chanting in unison, you know, it's the final countdown, and he's going around the ring slapping hands with everybody. It was a special thing. It was a lot of fun to be a part of that. I'd love to see that again. Even though KC says he hates that song. Well, you have no taste in music, so what do you know? You sure you don't have COVID? Because you got no taste, my friend. Anyway, I put that out there as an idea. But that's only if they're planning a surprise. I would not set my expectations high that they're going to have a surprise at the end of this show. If they do, it'll be a bonus. I'm not expecting it. But he would be the biggest free agent name that's out there at the moment. So, just an idea that I put out there in the atmosphere. Anyway, Jacob, thank you for the super chat, man. That's awesome. Drudge, boy, we got a lot of people in the chat who know nothing about music. Look at this. This song sucks. That song is terrible. My God. You people are really disappointing me. Clearly, you're not a child of the 80s. I feel badly for you. I don't know what good music is. Dry chicken without flavor. $5 super chat. Every time I hear the plane ride from Hell story, Come On, Feel the Noise by Quiet Riot pops into my head. Mr. E, 1976. Here's to the tip jar. Thanks for all you do, Solomonster. Thank you, Mr. E. Ryan Spies, Gamer Miro was the best work of his career easily. I don't know that that speaks very well to his career, if that's the case. The Gary Sphere with a $5 super chat. Cody might as well embrace it and call himself the Hollywood Dream because of how badly he wants to be a celebrity. P.S. Thanks for the email response. And you can check out the Gary Sphere under that name on YouTube. Thank you, Gary. Rodimus Prime with a $40 super chat. 40 bucks from Rodimus, currently at work, but had to show some love. Of course, can't wait for the Double or Nothing show on Sunday. Going to be great, he says. I really enjoyed being at the first one in Vegas. I hope they can bring it back to Vegas next year. I had a blast at that show. And, yeah, it's a shame because of everything. They haven't been able to go back there 2 years in a row at Daly's Place. Daly's Place has served them well. I don't know what they would have done without it. You know, but at some point, they got to bring Double or Nothing. I mean, they got to bring it back to Vegas. I mean, come on. Tenorio128, who in AEW and NXT are overlooked? Overlooked in NXT? That's a good question. I would have, you know, if you would have asked me that question a month ago, I would have told you Swerve Scott. And now we're finally getting to see him, I think, in his element, where he's found a role that he is comfortable in on this show, and they're giving him television time, and he has surrounded himself with people in his own little crew. And I love it so far. Hit Row, I think, has been fantastic from what little we've seen of them so far. So I can't say Swerve. So, you know, I don't know who my second choice would have been. But as far as AEW is concerned, who is overlooked? Lance Archer is overlooked a lot. Yeah, now he's getting a TNT title shot on Sunday. But for far too long, you know, even up until recently, it just felt like they didn't have a spot for him. They didn't really know what to do with him. He was interrupting Sting every week. It was almost like a running joke. You know, he would just be waiting. He could be in catering having a chicken sandwich, and, you know, he would hear Tony Schiavone all the way from the building, "It's Sting!" If you drop the chicken on the plate, we gotta go. We got a promo to interrupt. Like, that's the only purpose he even had in this company for so long. I think people overlook him because he just hasn't been featured in a real prominent role. You know, the guy is, he's really good. He's got that, you don't have a lot of people who look like him in AEW. They have a handful of big guys, but because there aren't too many of them, he stands out more. I think he is a very overlooked talent they have on their roster. So that would be the name I would go with. But we have dry chicken without flavor. Just to be clear, I won't be at Jacksonville for Double or Nothing, but I will be staying home watching it with Coca-Cola, whiskey, and Chinese food. I'm jealous. That sounds like a plan. I can't have Chinese food if I'm going to go live, though, because it fucks with my voice. I think it's the rice. So I'll be having my Chinese food on Friday, but you have your Chinese food on Sunday and enjoy it. It's my favorite meal of the week. Oz and Glorious. Been enjoying the AEW women's division a lot lately, mostly thanks to Elevation and Dark. Lots of great indie and unsigned talent, or signed talent, he says. Miles and miles ahead of last year. Yeah, definitely a noticeable improvement in a lot of the women's matches. From where they were a year ago, I would say big change. A big change in what we saw then as compared to what we see now. Thunder Rosa has a lot to do with that. Britt Baker has gotten better over time. Serena's not, an AEW signed talent. She's another NWA star, but that's one of the things I like about having these talent cooperation deals between promotions is that, you know, it helps really kind of raise the quality of the shows. It's good for the fans if you can work something like that out. Richie Rich, 365, dropping a $50 super chat here live on a Wednesday night. What's going on, Richie? I'm going to get to Richie here in a second. I'm going to get caught up on all your super chats again. If you want to drop one, you're not obligated to, but I sure do appreciate the support. And if you have a prediction of your own or a question about Double or Nothing, the card coming up on Sunday, by all means, drop a chat. And if it's a rando, you never know what photo might pop up. The special amounts are down below in the description if you're wondering where some of these animated ones are coming from. And shout out to Rick for his 30th birthday. Rick turning the big 3-0. Old man Rick. No. Rick is not a... If Rick is old, then I'm fucking ancient. So Rick is not old. Rick is not old. 30 is the new 14. That's what they say. Maybe not legally, but anyway. Oz and Glorious. Did I mention Oz and Glorious? Yes, I did. Dr. NXT Scorpio. I hope you win the world title at the pay-per-view Solomonster and then cut a promo thanking Jesus Christ for the title win. I will not be winning the world title, nor will I be thanking Jesus Christ, but... Kenny Omega, I think, has this one in the bag. Cerise Manson with the super chat. Hi, Solomonster, listening to you from Bangladesh in the middle of the night. Love you, man. Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Manson, all the way from Bangladesh. I love my international listeners. They make the ultimate sacrifice by staying up at the craziest hours. That's why Hash, who dropped the first super chat of the stream, I believe he's overseas as well. Usually it's like 5 or 6 in the morning when I'm live and he chimes in, so thank you for your commitment. I do appreciate that. Magician Sapphire, any thoughts on the whole John Cena apologizing to China situation? I'm going to talk about Cena on the show on Sunday. I think people are, you know, coming for his head, and it's just really fucking ridiculous. So, seems pretty straightforward to me. I'm sure somebody at the studio made sure to make sure you make this right, because we got many, 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 many millions, if not billions of dollars on the line here. And John Cena did what he felt he had to do. I think people who are coming for him are being quite ridiculous. But we'll talk more about that on Sunday. Dry chicken without flavor. I'm predicting the Pinnacle wins, but MJF and Chris Jericho continue their feud for full gear. I don't see it, because that's just too long. You can't keep that feud going in that interesting, I don't think, for that long. Because they've already been feuding for a few months. So now you're going to tack on, what, another 5 months, 6 months? I think you're asking an awful lot. I just don't see how you can extend this out and keep it interesting for that long. I just don't see it, unless they get away from it for a while and then they revisit it. You can always do that. But I think to just keep them feuding for another 5 or 6 months, it's not... I'm sorry, it's not that compelling a feud to get another 6 months out of it. So I don't see how you can just keep it going straight unless you split them up for a while and then come back to it. Dry Chicken. If Hikaru Shida wins the women's championship, or retains the women's championship, will the audience start turning on her? Brock Shida or Shida Lesnar? I don't think they'll start turning on her. I mean, if she's going to go out there and have really good matches, I think people will be more forgiving. I do think you will reach a point where that might happen, but I don't get the sense that they would turn on her. You know, certain people, they might turn on if they really just have a certain natural hatred for people. I don't get the sense that there's this hatred for Shida. I don't think they would turn on her, but she's not retaining the title, so she won't have to worry about that. Dry Chicken Without Flavor sent a super chat in. Okada also revealed that he had COVID. I did see that, and he gave it the Rainmaker, and now he's doing better, so. Nobody kicks out of the Rainmaker. Ace of Masta, what's the food and drinks planned for Sunday night? You know, I haven't come up with it yet. I don't know. I haven't figured that out yet. I haven't thought that far ahead. I'm just kind of looking for the next couple of days. You know, my brother is celebrating his birthday tomorrow, so I'm sure we'll do something for that. And then Friday is Chinese, and as far as the weekend goes, it's pretty much up in the air. I don't know, man. Maybe some grilling? We'll see. We'll come up with a plan. Spanish Goddish. Man, the Knicks are losing right now. Also, I got a Tim Curry autograph today. Private signing. Well, that's very cool. Well, if the Knicks are losing, I might hear some cursing from downstairs, because my brother is Mr. Nick, and he's watching the game. Right, he was very upset when they lost the other night. I know it was a nail-biter. I was so interested and excited in the game that I went to bed early. But if they're losing, then it might not be such a happy birthday for him tomorrow. Man, that would suck, actually. That would be a shitty birthday if the Knicks lost tonight. Juan Ocampo with the $4.99 Super Chat. They told me Sheiky Baby. Jason, I love you, don't hurt me. Hearing this loud playoff MSG crowd makes me wonder if Mania will ever come back to the Garden. Never say never, I think, for some big anniversary show down the road. I could see it. They're not getting away from the stadiums anytime soon. Maybe WrestleMania 50 or something, you know? But it's going to be a while before that happens. Vash T with the super chat. Man, you guys are very, very clever in the chat. If we haven't heckled Moxley and Kingston like Randy Quaid from Major League 2, I'll be disappointed in us. Richie Rich, again, thank you for the $50, man. That was very nice of you. I saw that come in earlier. He says, it's off topic, but what is your favorite Lucha Underground match? That is a great question. I have a lot of really fond memories of Lucha Underground, but I would say my favorite Lucha Underground match is still from season one. I think it was the first season. The Grave Consequences match between Mil Muertes and Rey Fénix, which was their version of a casket match, which is the best casket match that I have ever seen in my life. It was bloody. It was violent. It was exactly what a casket match should be. And if you have never seen the Grave Consequences match between those two men, you have to go out of your way to find it. I'm pretty sure, I don't remember which episode it was, but I'm almost positive it was from season one. That is my favorite Lucha Underground match. Dry Chicken, Jungle Boy, The Acclaimed, Private Party, Darby Allin, Orange Cassidy, Ty Conti, and many others will benefit from crowd reactions back on the road. I agree. Ace of Masta, happy birthday to Brother Monster. I will relay that message to him. And Gerald Bryant dropping $5. Do you see Tessa Blanchard in AEW in the near future? No, I do not. I don't see it anytime soon. Tessa Blanchard will eventually end up somewhere. And maybe it eventually will be with AEW. Maybe it will be with WWE. I think there's a better chance of it being in WWE. But I don't see anything happening with her for a while. I just don't see it. Hula Grimm. What's going on, Hula Grimm? He says, Weapons of Mass Destruction match. Was that a Lucha Underground match? I don't remember. They had a lot of really kooky matches. But Grave Consequences by far was my favorite. Ace of Master wants to know if I've done a Lucha Underground matches countdown. I'm almost positive I did. I don't remember what episode it would have been. But I'm almost positive when it looked like Lucha Underground was pretty much dead, I think I did a top 10. So if you try typing into the Google machine, Salamonster Lucha Underground Countdown, you know, it might catch one of the descriptions. You might be able to find it that way, but I'm almost positive I did. Yeah, I'm almost positive I did. Yes, yeah, Robbie in the chat says the Grave Consequences match is on YouTube. I think they actually put the whole match, I think, on their channel. So you could probably just go to the official channel and get it in full HD. Hooligan, basically, ladder match with weapons match was insane. Season 2 or 3. Yeah, they had a lot of crazy matches. You know, even some of the Royal Rumble that they used to do. The Aztec Warfare. I love those Aztec Warfare matches, especially the early ones. And it's funny, too, because it was their version of the Royal Rumble, but like that's the way the Rumble should be. I think the Rumble would be even cooler if you had pinfalls that counted in the match as well. It wasn't just over the top rope. Watching it in execution at Lucha Underground, it really worked. And I just thought it made for a fun match. So, yeah, it's a shame. You know, Lucha Underground, they had a lot of really creative concepts. And the way it ended, it was just so lame. You know, for it to just go out without there being a proper ending. So that's why I'm intrigued by seeing Dario Cueto, who unfortunately is not going to be going by that name. I forgot the name that he's going to be going by, but whatever name it is that he's using, he's basically playing the same character in MLW now. When MLW comes back with live shows in July, I'm going to have to check that out because, you know, they have their little Azteca Underground tie in there. And I gotta see what they have in store. It's kind of like the spirit of Lucha Underground lives on. In case he wants to know, will Kenny Omega go after the NWA title at some point? I thought he would. I thought he would go after the NWA championship and collect that belt as well. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen. There's been nothing to indicate that that's anything that they're interested in, so... Now I see that it's going to be Nick Aldis defending the championship against Trevor Murdoch at the next pay-per-view, which, as a pay-per-view world title match, seems a little... But when I was following NWA Power, and I haven't since they came back, but yeah, Trevor Murdoch was a perfectly fine babyface. He really, in that environment, in that show, in that studio kind of atmosphere... Because the guy, he just looks like a throwback. So he really works in that NWA setting. So actually, as a babyface, you know, going for the championship, maybe it's a story that could really work. I mean, the idea of Trevor Murdoch wrestling for a world title anywhere else, I know it seems laughable. But in the NWA, I think it kind of works. I'll tell you what's surprising. The fact that Nick Aldis has just not popped up anywhere else. Apparently, whatever the issues are with WWE, he's talked about that before, that he thinks somebody there has it out for him or whatever. Clearly, somebody has it out there for him because it's just bizarre that they never showed any interest in him. But even in the, you know, with Tony Khan and Billy Corgan sort of working together, the fact that he hasn't made any appearances on Dynamite, I don't know, it's just very strange that he would kind of be left out of that. Let's see what these new Super Chats had to say. Food Hive, with the $5. Is the next Dynamite after the one on Friday in 9 days? We've got 9 days. He's not going to let that go, are you? Tony Khan in his 9 days. Dr. NXT Scorpio. They tried to cancel Cena, but they just couldn't see him. Sorry, I'm out. That was very bad. That was... Leave the bad jokes to me. That was pretty bad. Yeah, they're not canceling anybody. In a few days, this will all be forgotten. Spanish Goddess, why do you think, or who do you think, will debut on Sunday? Also, have you tried the new Coca-Cola coffee? I don't like coffee, so Coca-Cola coffee has no appeal to me whatsoever. It has none. It has none. Okay, Ace of Masta says the YouTube app on iOS keeps it at 99 cents. Have not found out how to change that. Yeah, iOS and YouTube don't always work well together, so that makes sense. Loknath in the chat, you saw Jim Ross's comment on saying Randy Orton is the best in the world. Yeah, again, you know, it's one of those things that just, it gets blown up. Jim Ross was on his podcast and he made a comment about how he feels that Randy Orton is, and again, I don't have it in front of me, but how he thinks Randy Orton is the best active wrestler in the world or the most complete wrestler in the world or whatever the exact quote was. And all the AEW fans freaked out because, of course, Kenny Omega is the AEW world champion. And so how dare Jim Ross, who's the lead announcer for AEW, how dare he say that Randy Orton, that WWE guy, is the best in the world? It's the guy's fucking opinion. He didn't say Kenny Omega sucks. You would think that he pissed on the guy's grave and he's not even dead. He's entitled to have his opinion. People jump down his throat. Look, there's a lot of things you can jump down Jim Ross's throat for. But him talking about how, in his opinion, Randy Orton is the best, I don't agree. I'd probably have to give that some thought. I'd probably end up going with somebody in New Japan right now. I might have actually told you Will Ospreay before he got hurt. He was doing some of the best work of his career. Roman Reigns? You know what? The answer, I think, might be Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is not only having very good to great matches, but character-wise, he's untouchable right now. So I would actually argue that Roman Reigns, more than Randy Orton, is the best active full-time performer right now in WWE and quite possibly in all of wrestling. The guy is just firing right now on all cylinders. That's my opinion. You may disagree. That doesn't mean that you have to jump down my throat. Again, I talked about the AEW fans a few weeks ago. Whenever you levy the smallest criticism, or you're not, you know, playing on the team, they freak out. It really does remind me of the TNA loyalists from many years ago, and it's just, it's ridiculous, and it just reflects badly on the AEW fan base when they do that. Jim Ross did nothing wrong. Jim Ross is entitled to his opinion. He did nothing wrong. He has nothing to apologize for. And I just think it's a bunch of people who are being fucking stupid is what I think. So that's my thoughts on the whole Jim Ross situation. Good old JR did nothing wrong. People just love to find a reason to the slightest, smallest thing. I mean, I know I critique a lot of things on the podcast every week, but I don't go out of my way to search for every little bitty, itty-bitty thing, and the moment somebody says something, you jump down their throat, and you attack them. It's like people go into attack mode. Like, don't these people have anything better to do with their time? Don't they have anything more constructive to do? Yeah, Internet Bandit says, what's wrestling without being tribalist? I guess that's the problem. Everybody is, they're very tribal in nature. The only one that matters, though, is the tribal chief. All hail the tribal chief. Get my headphones ready here. Take some calls from you guys. See the number on your screen? 989-282-SOLO. We haven't done this in a while. Should be interesting. Let's see who we are going to go to first. Let's go to 202. Well, hang on a second here. I don't know if people can hear you. Let me know in the chat if you can hear our good friend. Yeah, let me know in the chat if you can hear our good friend Garrett. If not, I'll have to fix this. I don't want you going on your rant here and then nobody hears what it is. So, all right, I think I see what the problem is. All right, Garrett.
Hey, does anyone can hear me now?
There we go. I hear you. I hear you, and I think everybody else can.
as far as calling in for, I just wanted to let you know about the Jim Ross comments. And I personally don't care what he says, but people got upset about him calling Kenny Omega, who is their world champion, he's a good hand to have, is what he called him. And everyone's like, yeesh, you can't, Sean Spear him, I guess, is what they were complaining about. But, you know, that's his opinion. I don't really care much whether he calls Kenny Omega a good hand.
If that's the comment, then he could have phrased that better. But again, the man is entitled to his opinion. The way that some people were coming at him, just how viciously I saw some people on social media coming after him. And again, you can go after him for a lot of things that he says, or his commentary not being as good as it used to be. But again, the guy has an opinion. So what? Deal with it.
All right. But I just want to let you know that I will be going to a theater. I'm going to use the Cinemark deal they got going on to I don't know what the phrase is, like secessions, or going to a movie theater to watch Double or Nothing. So
yeah, I heard it's going to be airing in some.
Lag out.
Yeah, I heard it's going to be airing in some movie theaters in different parts of the country.
Yeah, so hopefully, you know, they'd be able to look the way that my movie theater looks like, it's going to be packed. So hopefully I'll be able to share footage what the live reaction's like in there for certain moments. But
oh, very cool.
As far as like my as much of my opinion of the show, as far as like the Casino Battle Royal, which I'm just infuriated looking at the list here, because, you know, this is a potential for a world title match. You got like multiple tag teams in this match, which, you know, I'm getting flashback to Revolution here by seeing these names. But as far as like the Joker card's going to be, as much as I like to think it's Bryan Danielson coming out, I probably think it's probably going to be Nick Gage just getting a good pop out of the crowd.
Oh, but,
the, I'm all for it.
The whole Bryan Danielson thing. Look, I pitched an idea a little earlier that was far better than just throwing him out there in a battle royal. I mean, I know the battle royal is for a future world title match, so the idea of him walking in and winning and all of a sudden, he's got a world title match in his back pocket. I mean, I get that, but if I were going to debut Bryan Danielson at AEW, it would not be in a fucking battle royal at the beginning of the show. I mean, you could come up with far more exciting ways to get him on the show. I would not debut him in that way.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I think that whoever wins his battle royal is probably going to be getting the challenge at the Miami show, which is their first touring show, which is probably going to be their Fighter Fest event.
Well, then
so
it should be Christian.
Bryan Danielson or Omega.
No, it should be Christian. It should not be Nick Gage. It should not be Nick Gage. I mean, Nick Gage, I watched his Dark Side of the Ring special, and interesting little, story of where he came from and where he is now. And I know he's got a lot of fans and all that, but the idea of Nick Gage walking into AEW and then winning a shot to challenge for the world championship is a fucking joke. I mean, I understand he's got his fan base, but no, I do not want to see that.
I wasn't suggesting it. I'm just saying that it's probably the Joker, like the mystery opponent was going to be.
Oh,
but
yeah, it's possible.
I agree with the synopsis of Gage. But before I go, I just wanted to ask you, since this is the second anniversary of AEW, second anniversary of AEW, I just wanted to ask you, from your favorite to least favorite pay-per-view AEW has done so far in the last 2 years? As far as my chosen, I still go with the original Double or Nothing in 2019, just as the novelty and actually for the big moments. As far as my least favorite, it's got to be All Out 2020. I just did not like the show from the moments it happened to the dead crowd to the, again, Jim Ross commentary during the Brody Lee match in particular, if anyone remembers that. And yeah, this is like my least favorite pay-per-view. So what is your choice?
My favorite pay-per-view, similar to you, Double or Nothing 2019, it's either that or Revolution from last year. I feel like Revolution last year, if it wasn't their best pay-per-view, it was their top two. That was an excellent show. The key matches all delivered. Least favorite, it might be similar to yours. I also don't remember really being enamored with that show. That one is a little tougher to come up with, but definitely it's a toss-up, I think, between Revolution 2020 and Double or Nothing 2019. Probably giving the edge to Revolution. That was the show that Tony Khan, and this is what Tony Khan said. Tony Khan thought that was the greatest wrestling pay-per-view of all time. And again, I don't know that I would go that far, but I do think it was probably the best of the shows that they have produced. Amiibo in the chat, by the way. Hello. I want to say hello to Amiibo. Go ahead.
What's up, Amiibo? But anyway, right. I'll get you out of your hair. I'll let everyone else get a good time to chat.
Awesome.
So,
all right,
I'll
Garrett.
Let you know. Let me know.
Yeah, let me know how it goes, and then we'll talk again soon.
Sure thing. Catch you all later.
All right, awesome. So that was Dead Man Garrett. That's an inside joke from the first time that he called. I don't even remember how that joke got started, but it's some kind of inside joke. I don't remember our own inside joke because it's been so long since I've talked to Garrett. But thank you, Garrett, for the call. Let's do a few more super chats here before we take the next one. Who we got? Dry Chicken? Dry Chicken said we can agree to disagree. I talked about that one already. The comedic genius with the $5 super chat. What's going on, Solomonster? It's been a while. How's life been going for you, by the way? Still not a Knicks fan? Enjoy your cereal. Yeah, I'm just not a huge NBA fan. You know, I used to watch the playoffs and some of the exciting games, but I don't follow the week-to-week, you know, the draft stuff. It doesn't interest me. It's like the NHL. It just doesn't interest me. But, you know, everything else is going great. That's all I could say. You know, there's a lot of work. I've been putting a lot of hours in on everything and, you know, Trying to do my thing. That's all we can do. But thank you, Comedic Genius, for the super chat. Amiibo said he called in and it was silent, so you asked, did Garrett die? It probably sounded to all of you like he did. But thankfully, we got that issue fixed very quickly. So the lines are all jammed. I like it. I like seeing this. We'll try to take as many as we can before we get out of here, because it's been a while since we've done this, so I want to go to, let's see here. Where should we go to? You know what? Let's go to 504. You're on the air.
What is up, Solid Monsters? One and only Phoenix. Shino Phoenix, a.k.a. Josh from New Orleans.
Josh.
How's it going, my good man?
Josh. It's going good. How are you, sir?
A little tired. I was streaming on Twitch for 4 hours. I'm just a little exhausted, but you know, I can't miss your live streams talking about AEW as always.
Of course not. What were you playing on Twitch, if I may ask?
I was playing Fall Guys. I got 2 victories, and I'm currently on 109 overall victories. And I did play Overwatch as well.
Heard good things about Overwatch. I'm not as familiar with Fall Guys, but you made the right choice putting your game on pause and tuning in here to the stream. So what's your question or comment about AEW?
Well, first things first, I have one question, and it involves Omega and Andrade at Triple Mania.
Okay.
Because I'm looking forward to that match. Do you think Andrade should beat Omega for the AAA Mega Championship?
When is their match scheduled for? Is it August?
Yeah, it's August.
Huh. I'm not really a fan of beating Omega before he loses the AEW title. And I wouldn't have him lose the AEW title, you know, all out at the earliest, and that's September. So I would rather he not lose it, but I feel like this match is set up for him to drop the belt. And so I don't know if they would have whoever he's feuding with at the time maybe show up and cost him the belt. At least that would kind of give him a built-in excuse and maybe put more heat on their match. Some people might find that to be a cheap finish. I don't know. I mean, I think it's two different questions. Do I think he's going to lose the title? I do. Would I have him lose the title? Not before he drops the AEW belt.
Yeah, I think it would make the most sense. But I have this idea that's been on my mind, and it also involves AEW, and I want to know what your thoughts is.
Mm-hmm.
I recently told one of my friends that they should do like a Brody Lee Invitational, like make it like their version of the G1 or a tournament, like once a year. And the winner of that said Invitational not only gets a trophy, but a future shot at the TNT Championship, because I think it would be a great way to honor, like, not only honor Brody Lee, but just keep that legacy alive. And I think it would be a must-see to not only get younger talents and new talents in there, but I just want to know, do you think you could add on to that, or is it a great idea for AEW?
I think it could work. I mean, I think that they honor him every week just when the show goes on the air and you hear Jim Ross go, it's Wednesday night. You know what that means. So, I mean, they have their little,
yep,
you know, their little tribute to him. I don't think you have to do it, but you know, the idea of, people have asked me that over the years. Do I think WWE should have some form of a G1? And I laugh. Can you imagine WWE? Can you even imagine WWE attempting to do a G1 type of tournament? And we just lost him, but we'll reconnect him in a second. It's just comical to me, the idea that they would even, like, the WWE would even attempt to do a tournament. Like, do you think they would even know what to do? Imagine them trying to follow the rules of the tournament and stuff. It's ridiculous to even think about. But I think it's an idea that could work. I don't think it's a bad idea. All right, we're back. Josh, you still there, buddy?
I'm still here, small monster. Look, as always, you know I never leave.
Look at that. Josh hanging on for dear life, like Shawn Michaels hanging on that top rope in the 1995 Royal Rumble. I love it. Love it.
You know, I never wanted to leave because, you know, I always like having conversations with you, man.
Man, you're like my ex-girlfriend. You never leave. At some point, I'm going to kick you out. You know that.
Like, I'm looking forward to Double or Nothing. I'm definitely excited to see Britt Baker win that title from Sheeta. It's long overdue. And I think that's one of the matches I'm definitely looking forward to. But I'm going to let you go. I'm probably going to hop on my PS4 and possibly play some Apex or Knockout City, which is another new EA game that is the hot thing right now. So I'm cool. Going to let you go, Salamanca. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks for taking my call, and looking forward to your review for Double or Nothing.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for hanging in with me, man. I appreciate it.
No problem, my good man.
All right, take care. All right, so that was Josh hanging in there with us. I guess Coggies is not yet connected because we're all jammed up here, so let's take a few more calls. Before we wrap things up, let us go to 520.
Hey, Solomon Monster, how you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good, but in Arizona right now, we're in 100-degree weather season for the next few months.
Oh, that's no bueno.
Yeah. No. This is Luke from Maricopa, Arizona, also known as Simone Fan 101. Cheap plug for my YouTube channel that I haven't been able to update in months.
There you go. By the way, let me stop you there for a second. Superhot in the chat says, what is Josh's Twitch? I forgot to ask him. So, Josh, if you are in the chat, let everybody know what your Twitch is, because now they want to watch you go play Apex Legends. But go ahead, Luke.
I have a bunch of questions, but before I get to it, I just want to say that I could hear Josh on the phone as I was waiting for your call. At one point, he said that he thought, I feel like he died. I think that's what he said.
That he died?
Yeah, like complete silence. Like he's talking. Like, I guess he's talking to no one. He was probably just joking around.
Well, his connection died, or my connection died. But in any event, you say you have a couple of questions, so let's get to that because I wanna get through as many of these as I can here in the next few minutes.
Okay. Just a couple of bullet points I got before I get to my questions. But you mentioned on the podcast recently that New Japan could put the IWGP title on the line in the G1 climax. There actually is a precedent for that. I looked it up. Back in 1992, they put the vacant NWA championship on the line in the G1, and the finals of that G1 was Masahiro Chono and Rick Rude, with Chono winning the NWA belt. So New Japan could totally do that if they wanted to. They've done it before.
Yeah, I mean, it really just boils down to, is the G1 going to be delayed? Now, I think a lot of that has to do with what the status of the Olympics are going to be, which I think the Olympics are still a go, but if they were to be canceled, then they could potentially bump up the G1. I mean, I guess the problem is you've got to start planning now and booking venues. And things are still very, you know, they're very tenuous over there in Japan. I mean, things are not great as far as the COVID situation. So if the G1 isn't happening until the fall, I don't think you want to go that long without a champion. But if the G1 is going to be sometime in the summer, then I think you absolutely could do that. You could put the title up, and the winner of the G1, for the first time, wins not the NWA, but the IWGP title.
It's cool. Several questions. It's always hard to pick which ones I want to ask, but I have to tell you about this. I don't know if you heard about this, but I'm on 401mania.com right now, and I'm on an article right now that's saying what the potential replacement – this is a rumor at the moment, but the replacement possibly is for Adnan Virk. It's some guy named Jimmy Smith. He was
commentator. Well, that's not a rumor. I mean, that's been announced already. WWE already announced that Jimmy Smith is the new announcer.
Oh, well, I haven't been paying attention to the news, so clearly the website I'm using must be backlogged.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Sorry about that.
He is He's official, so start the countdown clock, everybody. We can start taking bets. How many months? Get your bets in.
Apparently he auditioned for the role back in March, so let's see how long. I wonder if he'll last to the end of the year.
He's done some stuff. Yeah, he'll last a while, because it would be embarrassing for them to fire, or lose. I mean, we'll find out exactly what happened with Virk. I'm sure they let him go. Maybe he made the decision on his own. Maybe he saw the writing on the wall. But I don't think it. I think it would be very embarrassing for them to get rid of two people in the span of a few months. So whether he's good or not remains to be seen. I think he'll last a little bit longer, if for no other reason, because it would just be very embarrassing for them to lose another play-by-play guy. The thing about Jimmy Smith, what I know of him is very little, but he's not a play-by-play guy. You know, what he's done before for MMA is he's in the analyst role. So effectively now what we have on Raw are three color commentators. We have him, we have Corey Graves, who is not a play-by-play announcer, and we have Byron Saxton, who may have had a little bit of experience doing some play-by-play, but he's also not a play-by-play guy. Now, Smith has done some stuff with NXT, apparently. Nothing in the play-by-play role. I think he may have been on some kickoff panels and, you know, some video packages hyping up big matches. Again, he's one of those names from the sports world that they favor. They love people like that. Is he going to succeed in this role? We'll hear his voice on Monday, because that's his start date, and we'll get a better sense then. But I don't have a good feeling about this ending much differently than the Adnan Virk experiment.
Okay. I do have a bunch of questions, but I'll just stick with two more, and then we'll be done.
I thought it was Jimmy Smits, by the way. When I first saw the news, I was like, holy shit, they got Jimmy Smits to be the new announcer for Raw. Where the fuck did that come from? And then I saw it was Smith and not Smits. I got NYPD Blue flashbacks there for a little bit. But go ahead. Or L.A. Law, too. Remember that? L.A. Law? Wasn't he on L.A. Law back in the day? I'm dating myself now.
He was in Star Wars, so there's that. But two more points. One of them, I don't know if you know about this, but remember when you kind of went off on Andrade wanting to have a match with Alberto Del Dipshit and at this Nacion Lucha Libre show, what was it, in July? Well, I looked up Nacion Lucha Libre, and guess who founded Nacion Lucha Libre?
Alberto Del Dipshit.
And Alberto Del Dipshit.
How did I know? How did I know?
So he basically made his own promotion and booked himself a match.
How did I know? Well, that makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, it's right here on Wikipedia. I'm looking at it dead in its eyes, if a Wikipedia page could have eyes.
Apparently, the Knicks now have they've taken the lead from what I see. So that's good news if you are a Knicks fan. Apparently, they are in the lead. Now, if this were the Mets, I would say how much time is left in the game, because in those final minutes, they usually let those leads slip away. So hopefully the Mets syndrome does not afflict the Knicks here in this game. But we'll find out shortly. It looks like they're in the lead right now.
Okay. My last point, and this is a full-on question.
Okay, but try to make it quick, because we got to move on here.
Okay, sorry about that, but it has to do with Ring of Honor and AEW. AEW seems to have a working relationship with a lot of the other major promotions, Impact, New Japan, NWA. There's some partnership there. And Ring of Honor is seeming left out in the cold. I originally thought it had to do with Marty Scurll being there, but now Marty Scurll's gone. But yet there is no sign that any sort of relationship is in effect or even rumored in the potential future. So is what's going on? Is there some sort of heat between AEW and Ring of Honor that we just don't know about?
No, I don't think there is. I just think it's a case of they don't have to work with everybody. And I think the biggest thing is that Ring of Honor has television. You know, the NWA does not have television on a network. New Japan does not have television on a proper network at the moment in this country, so that's less of an issue. Ring of Honor, you know, they are a televised product in this country. They're owned by, you know, a billion-dollar media entity, and maybe they don't want to work with others. You know, I mean, they have in terms of Impact and whatnot, but, you know, both sides have to be on board for it. And the fact that they're not working together doesn't mean that they can't work together one day. I'm not aware of there being any kind of heat between the two companies. AEW doesn't have to work with everybody.
Okay, thank you, Saul Monster, for taking my call. I'll get out of your hair. And I just got to say, the IC title match on SmackDown last Sunday should have been on that Backlash pay-per-view instead of whatever the hell that zombie match was with Priest and Miz. So that would have made it for a much better pay-per-view. So I'll see you later, Saul Monster, and have a good rest of your night over there in New York.
Thank you. You too. Ciao. Sir. Appreciate it. Yeah, let's... That Intercontinental title match, it was on Friday, not Sunday, but that was a very good match. There were some people who overrated it a little bit, because I didn't see it until later on that night, and I heard all these wonderful things about it, and then I watched it, and it was like, oh, it's a very good match, but it's not fucking match of the year. Let's cool our jets there. Let's see here. We had one more super chat before I get to the next, actually two. Oh, Jolly Burgos, sorry I'm late, but I just wanted to ask you, given Scorpio Sky's recent interview, who do you see jumping from AEW to WWE? I say Sonny, Diamante, and TH2. Well, what did Scorpio Sky imply about an AEW talent going to WWE? I did not hear those comments, so you'll have to fill me in on exactly what he said. There is no AEW talent that I could think of that just strikes me as, you know, imminently jumping over to WWE. I mean, look, you could be a Sonny Kiss fan or a Diamante fan and say, man, AEW is not doing enough with these people. But do you honestly believe that they're going to be better off necessarily if they go to WWE, who stockpiles talent, so much talent they don't know what to do with a lot of these people that they sign? I mean, it's almost like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. So I don't know that that's a much better option unless they can get themselves a lot more money, you know, then good for them. You know, Diamante, she could be an addition to that NXT women's division. But, yeah, I don't know. Sonny Kiss, TH2, do you really see WWE doing that much more with them than AEW is doing? Because I don't. Tommy Seville, thank you, man, for the $17 super chat. Appreciate it. I think that this might be our good friend Coggies here. Let's find out. Coggies.
Hey, buddy.
I got you. I told you I was going to get you. You got to speak up, my friend. Put some bass in your voice. Let your balls drop. Let's go, Coggies. You're on the air. You're making your debut here.
Oh, man. This is great. Well, it's nice to talk to you. I want to give a quick shout out to my buddy Frank, who got me into your show.
Well, thank you, Frank.
He's the fucking man, dude.
Salute to Frank.
Yeah.
Right, Frank's the fucking
man.
We're
gonna check out.
That's right.
Yeah, we're gonna check out a Double or Nothing, you know, on Sunday. Gonna get some ice cream.
Right, some ice cream, some hookers, some blow. Right, all the good stuff. You're gonna do it right. Maybe not. It's not. If it was Vegas, though.
Maybe, you know.
If it was Vegas.
We'll start at ice cream.
There you go. No. Snorting ice cream sounds like a terrible idea. You talk about brain freeze. I would not advise you snorting ice cream.
Oh, no.
Anyway.
No, that's inadvisable. Definitely not. That's the real brain buster.
What's your question?
But, yeah, man. I share your enthusiasm big time for NJPW. You got me real jazzed for that, so I got on the NJP world, you know, and I'm so sad that they're having such a hard time right now, you know?
Yeah, it sucks.
That's a bummer. But we got to get Suzuki over here, though. One, to keep him safe, and two, so that he and Moxley can beat the shit out of each other. That would be great.
Mm-hmm. Suzuki and whoever, man. Suzuki and Archer, Suzuki and Miro, Suzuki and Moxley, Kingston. Put them in there with anybody. It's fine with me.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Britt's definitely winning this Sunday. I got my Bloody Britt t-shirt on right now. Huge Doctor fan. She's from Pittsburgh. I'm from Pennsylvania. So, you know, it makes sense.
You guys are homers.
Oh, yeah. But I don't really have any questions. I just wanted to chat with you for a minute, but I also don't want to take up too much time. So, you know.
Well, look, I'm glad to hear from you. Hopefully we'll do more calls more often. And the next time you do have a question, give me a call, and we'll see if we can get you back on. But thank you. I should say thank you for all the because I see you in the chat every week, and thank you for all the support. It means a lot.
Oh, hell yeah, man. Yeah, you have a really great show, and it's really nice to support someone who loves what they do, and you know, really gives me a lot of entertainment. I listen to your podcast like twice a week, you know, while I'm, you know, doing stuff around the house and everything like that. And yeah, it's just great. So thank you, man.
Awesome. All right, listen, I'm going to let you go, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, cool, man. Take care.
All right, awesome. So that was Coggies in the chat, everybody. Glad to get him on the show. Samoan fan dropping $2. Talking about CM Punk in Taiwan and his Twitter bio. Well, that's what Punk does. He trolls. I mean, what else is he going to do? He's not doing anything else. He's enjoying the fruits of his labor. He's enjoying his retirement. And playing with his Twitter bio. All right, let's do a few more calls, and then we will wrap things up here. I'm going to try to get to as many people as I can, but try to be succinct if you got a comment or a question, because I don't want to linger too long on one call. Let's go to Connecticut, which Jim Ross once referred to as an overpriced hellhole. 203, do you agree or disagree with JR, since you, I believe, live there? He is apparently stunned into silence by my question. 203.
Hey, how you doing? Sorry about that.
That's okay. I thought I lost you there for a second.
Don't worry about it. I'm a little stunned for that one. Listen, before I get going, I just want to say I got my shot today. Second dose of the vaccine. Hope you get your vaccines in place for everybody.
Congratulations.
Please get your vaccines. And number two, I'm dedicating this call to my mother who got her hysterectomy today. So big shout out for her. Ma, this is for you.
I hope she's doing well.
Yeah, thank you, Salamasha. I appreciate that. Okay, I got a couple of questions. You talked about AEW moving to TBS is a good thing. But there's another thing you've got to consider about the Warner Media Discovery merger that's going to be coming up in a couple of years. Do you think AEW will stay there on that brand? Does that fit there? What do you think?
I think they'll be there for at least a couple of years. I mean, my understanding is their existing contract that they signed last year, that is unchanged. So that it's not like time has been added to it. So that's going to come up Yeah, basically they'll be negotiating probably end of 2023 or sometime in 2023. So at that point, if they wanted to be back on TNT, I mean, that's something they'd have to negotiate with Warner. I can't see that changing if they still have the rights to the NHL, though. So I think if they go to TBS and everything seems to be working, then why rock the boat? I mean, the right stuff comes down to money. I don't think it's going to matter what channel they're on unless they get booted off TBS and you put them on True TV or something like that. I think they'll be fine on TBS. And as far as the deal is concerned, it's going to come down to money in a few years, as these things always do.
Yeah, I know that Warner's going to be in charge, and Discovery's got a little bit of the profit, 23%, and Warner's got 75% of it.
Yeah, but again, I think it's too early to tell if that's going to be an issue. I don't see it being an issue, but nobody knows, because all the stuff is so complicated, and with these big media companies, in 2 years, that's like a lifetime. Who knows what's going to be happening in 2 years?
Well, we'll see what happens. And second of all, and I hope this is, and let's play what would happen, and what would have, for a minute, I hope you play with this one. What would have happened if, in the Casino Battle Royal, and I know you guys are going to jump me on this in the comments, what if John Cena jumps from WWE and makes it to AEW because his show's on TBS, and it would make sense that he would join AEW because he'd be moving to TBS? What do you think?
There is 0.00% chance of that happening. Him being on TBS is not going to have any impact at all outside of his Wipeout commercials airing during Dynamite. That will be the extent to which we see John Cena in AEW. I think John Cena is a WWE lifer. So whenever he's ready to come back and make an appearance or do a big match at a WrestleMania, he'll happily come back. I think he's loyal to the brand. I know we've said that about other people before, and money talks. I don't get the sense he needs to worry about money. So, no, John Cena is not going to AEW.
Thanks for that comment. All right. And one more thing before I go, and this is one question, and this is just a personal thing.
Sure.
I really wanted Pac versus Hangman to be in the match. I really wanted Pac instead of Orange Cassidy, but they want to treat Orange Cassidy like the Daniel Bryan character of all time. And that's pretty cool. And I know Kenny Omega's going to retain the title because there's no way he's going to lose. And I'm really hoping that it could go into a Hangman versus Kenny Omega match at All Out in August. What do you think?
Very possible. I mean, I say Full Gear, but it could be All Out. I think it's going to be one of those two shows. I like Full Gear just because it's a full year since their last match. And if he's going to win the title there, I think Full Gear is kind of his thing. I think that's where the name Full Gear comes from. It was like an inside joke with Hangman on Being the Elite. It just feels like if he's going to have his big moment, it would be that show in November. I know they're going to be in St. Louis for that show on the road. So, you could be right. I think either of us are going to end up being right. It's going to be one of those two shows.
Yeah, and I'm glad AEW's going back on the road this July, and WWE's going back on the road this July. So I'm glad, we're very happy about that. So, I got to go. Thank you, Solar Monster, for asking my questions. Sorry for the hang-up there.
That's okay.
And have yourself a good night, and I'll be watching Double or Nothing.
Awesome. Thank you, sir. Enjoy the show. That is all the way from Connecticut, not Stanford. That call was not coming from Titan Tower. Just so you know, Dry Chicken Without Flavor dropped a super chat a little while ago, $5. I heard your Collision in Korea review. I'm disappointed Dark Side of the Ring never mentions Kensuke Sasaki and Akira Hokuto having sexual interaction. Well, that's why I mentioned it. I mentioned it at the end of my review. I can't believe they left that story out. It's a great love story. These two wrestlers, this male wrestler and this female wrestler, who had never met before, meet for the very first time in North Korea on this trip, and they fall so madly in love and they're so attracted to each other that they have wild animal sex in their hotel room that is supposedly, reportedly, allegedly so loud it wakes up everybody in the hotel and the cops are called. And then a few months later, they get married. And guess what? They're still married to this very day. What a great story. And they left it out. They didn't interview any of the female talents, actually, that went on that trip. I was surprised they didn't interview either of the Steiner brothers, but I've been told that the producers tried to get them and they basically stonewalled them. I have no idea why. But anyway, I think that's a great love story. Doesn't get any better than that. Tommy Seville, if Solomonster could live anywhere he wanted, where would it be? Oh boy. If Solomonster could live anywhere that he wanted to, where would it be? That is a great question. It probably wouldn't be in this country. I'd go to someplace much nicer than this place. Much nicer than New York. I mean, there are other parts of the country. Hey, you know what? I see Eric Bischoff posting on Twitter. You know, he's up there in Cody, Wyoming. It's beautiful. I would love to live in a place like that, but I can never do the winters there. The winters there would be too brutal for me. I'd prefer to go to a place where there is no winter. Winter is like 65. No snow to dig out of every fucking year. So I'd pick like a nice, place like, I don't know, Denmark or one of these places where you hear they do these surveys of where in the world are people the happiest. And it's always like Denmark or Sweden at like number one and everyone's so nice. It's like nice and quiet. I could do my show and be left alone. But then again, I'd probably be streaming at like 2 o'clock in the morning at these like weird times. So I don't know. I don't know. Japan is the dream, says Maz in the chat. Yeah, one day I really would like to make my way over to Tokyo and make a trip. Not now, but at some point in the future. I don't know about living there, though. Like, permanently? But who knows? You know, sometimes you visit these places that you've never been to before, and you just kind of fall in love with it, you know? I have a couple of friends who moved out of the country to other places. Not because they didn't like being here, but they just... like, they got married, and their wife was from overseas, so they went to go move there, and they're happy. It's like their own little paradise over there. I would want to move to paradise, wherever that may be. Find me paradise. That's where I want to live. Coggy says, Euro monster. Maybe. I've never been to Europe. I hear Greece is nice. Samoan fan, 101. Why are the WWE casket matches always weak and Grave Consequences matches so good to great? And when will Pentagon and Phoenix go singles in AEW? I don't know if you've been paying attention, but Pentagon and Phoenix have been singles for a while now in AEW. So I think Phoenix is out with an injury, but that's already happened. And I don't know, but yeah, but the casket matches is, who knows, just the way WWE has their formula for doing things, and you know what they do works for them. No, not Paradise, Nevada, you smartass. Hardy in the chat saying Paradise, Nevada. No offense to the people in Paradise. 720, I think it's our buddy Brian. Brian, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Brian, what's going on?
How you doing, man?
Good.
Not a whole lot, man. First time caller. I'm from Colorado, and I got a statement and I got a question. Sure. Statement is that I think you're awesome, man. You and JD are the guys that I rely on the most for my wrestling fix, and I'm still waiting on the day where you recommend Raw to me. I'm beginning to lose hope in that.
You'll be waiting a while, I think.
Yeah, right. I don't watch WWE anymore. I'm a AEW guy. I got a question for you about Double or Nothing. Sure. And it's more of a question that goes into a bigger question. The Stadium Stampede match, I think they're going to do in the middle of the show. I think it's going to be their trial to do a halftime show for a pay-per-view event. And how do you feel about the idea of halftime shows? to me, cinematic matches are more, they're more keen to people watching on TV as opposed to the live audience. And I look at All Out, where the conditions are not very good, 97 degrees, 100% humidity or whatever it was, just like it, anybody gets tired in that. I couldn't even imagine what those wrestlers were feeling like. And I mean, it sucks standing outside in that kind of weather. So,
yeah, I mean, well, look, Undertaker and AJ Styles talked about that when they filmed their match. It was pretty cold outside, even though they were in Florida, and it's a lot of standing around and stuff. I mean, as far as a halftime deal, I'm not a fan of it because, like, when WWE many, many, many years ago, they would take an intermission, and they would have, like during the WrestleManias, for example, the big pay-per-views, they'd have a five-minute intermission. I didn't mind that. That gives people a chance to go grab a snack or go use the bathroom or whatever. But the idea of, like, a halftime thing, I just think it's unnecessary. And I think when you do these cinematic matches, you should save them for special occasions. You know, I understand why they were doing so many of them because of the pandemic and everything, but as things start to get back to, you know, normal or a degree of normalcy, there's not a need to do them all the time. Save them, make them special, do them every now and then, but, you know, like a halftime type thing, I'm not a fan. I just want to get through these pay-per-views as quickly as possible. I don't think we need any kind of little interlude in the middle.
I hear you. I just think that they're looking at ways to keep the fans engaged throughout a 4-hour show. You know what I mean? So,
I get that, but I don't think these shows necessarily need to be that long, but that's just me. I understand.
I totally agree.
I understand AEW. The difference is that they don't do pay-per-views every month like WWE does. So when they do 4 of them a year, yeah, I mean, I can give them a little more leeway because they only do them 4 times a year, right? Not counting those special little theme shows they do. So that's different than doing them every single month. But even still, the AEW shows can be very long as well. Was it not the last one, the one before that? It might have been the one with the Bucks and FTR. I just remember that being a very long show. And I almost think it doesn't matter. I mean, you can try to put something in the middle that you think is really fun, but a long show is a long show. You're better off not trying to go too long. Leave people wanting more.
Yeah, I hear you, man. And that was my question. And I just wanted to say again, man, I appreciate your service that you do to all of us wrestling fans. I wish that you could just watch Dark Elevation, Far Superior, you know, on Monday nights. I want you to have a wonderful night, man. And it's good to talk to you for the first time. Long-time fan since 2010.
That's awesome. I'm glad you made it through, and I appreciate the call.
All right, man. Take it easy.
All right, you too. Yeah, I've heard some good things about Dark Elevation, but only so many hours in the day. Only so many hours in the day. I wish I could clone myself. That would be very helpful. Spanish Goddess, thank you for the $5. I appreciate that. They should make a Dark Side of the Ring episode on either Dr. Death Steve Williams or on Abismo Negro, Mexican wrestler. I think they're going to want to go for somebody with more of a name to the American audience, so Dr. Death would be a lot more likely. Depending on what kind of content they can dig up for him. I mean, when I think of Dr. Death, you know, Dark Side of the Ring, maybe if they want to focus on his cancer and him kind of getting sick. But, you know, there's probably a lot of other people that deserve a Dark Side of the Ring before, you know, Dr. Death does. I think that the WWE Raw creative, that's pretty much an entire season of Dark Side of the Ring. You can fill with that. So they're probably more likely to get it before Dr. Death does. Teddy Hart, yeah. Teddy Hart's on his way, unfortunately, to a dark side of the ring. Tammy Sitch. All right, let's do a couple more here. Let us go to 386.
Hello?
Hello, 386. You're on the air.
Hey, Solomon Moxley.
Who am I talking to?
You talking to G?
What's going on? You got a question for the stream?
Sure. I'm watching Raw. I only went to sleep after the Kofi and Drew McIntyre match disqualification. But the AEW question I want to ask is, like, with the addition of Rampage, if you were to trim down on segments, what segments do you think you would, like, get rid of or move to Rampage?
You mean from Dynamite?
Because on Dynamite.
Move from Dynamite to Rampage, you mean?
Yeah, move from Dynamite to Rampage. Because there's been too many stuff on Dynamite recently with the factions and the whole Nightmare Family stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird... and thank you for the call. I appreciate that. They're looking at Rampage as like a third hour of Dynamite, just on a different night. And I talked about this on the podcast, that it came out, I saw a note in the Observer, that, you know, for everything people say about Meltzer and AEW, I would trust that this is true, that he's getting this information from AEW. But he mentioned the fact that when the negotiations were going on last year for the TV deal, that TNT and Warner wanted 3 hours of Dynamite every Wednesday. And I was just like, these people this is ridiculous. Just pile on more and more and more. And I understand the need for more content, but 3 hours in a row is completely unnecessary. And Tony Khan apparently was able to successfully talk them out of it. But the compromise was that third hour would be its own standalone one-hour show on a different night. Hence, Rampage on Fridays, which is going to debut now in August. Much better. For two reasons. Number one, a one-hour show is far more digestible than a two- or three-hour show. And the fact that it's going to be on a different night. Did not have to be on a Wednesday. But it's not as if Dynamite has, I don't know, certain types of segments that you would only want to do on Rampage. It's just another hour so that they can maybe give segments, and what I'm hoping for, they can give more segments on Dynamite, matches when they're done, time to breathe, instead of just immediately cutting into the next thing. Because they do a lot of that on Dynamite. They don't give, like, somebody gets a big win and it's like, on to the next. And I'm hoping that by having that extra hour, it will let things just play out a little bit more. And it's not like they feel compelled to have to shovel so many different things into one episode of Dynamite. So that's where I feel the benefit of Rampage comes in, is giving Dynamite a little bit of relief on a different night. 323. I don't know why I'm singing that. 323.
Hello, what's up, Solomon Monster? My name is Jonathan. I'm from South Central LA. I called like months and months ago, and y'all told me I sound like Rey Mysterio.
Ah, yes, I do remember that. I do remember that.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, man, I've been watching you since like 2013, maybe. When
wow.
I remember you imitating Russo and Josh Matthews, man. That always cracked me up.
Yeah, that used to be some of the more popular clips that were up on YouTube back then.
Yeah, so I have a question, Solomonster. I just don't see the appeal in Jon Moxley. Promos aside, because, you know, I think everyone could agree the dude is crazy with the mic, but I just don't see it. Like, I thought he looked a little more rugged before. Sometimes I feel like he looks silly. His matches are a little off to me. I just don't, you know, I will tolerate the nonsensical spots, the high spots, the dives, the super kicks, the whatever, the Young Bucks, whatever the criticism is. But something about Moxley, man, like, I'm just not into, like, his matches. Like, I can't have him on and expect people not to look at me weird. I don't know if you could kind of explain it to me, because I'm not necessarily on anybody's side. You know, I'm just watching wrestling matches. So I don't know if you could explain it to me a little bit.
No, I mean, there's really nothing to explain to me. You don't have to be a fan of John Moxley's. You know, he's a weird guy. The way he moves around and the way he sort of acts, he's just a weird guy. And so some people are going to like that, and other people just are going to look at him and go, I don't get it. You know, it's not like he's a body guy. He's not some big muscled up looking guy. His hair is all kind of, I don't know, messed up and stuff. So, yeah, I think because he is different, I think he stands out a little bit more. And he's had some really good matches. I think actually his reign as AEW champion, I think the pandemic hurt things a little bit in terms of it wasn't an overly exciting reign, but he actually had some really good matches during that reign. So, I'm a fan of his work. I like the guy. He's not my favorite wrestler or anything like that, but, you know, it's not like you have to apologize for not getting him or being a fan of his. There's a lot of people who feel the same way that you do, or they felt like he was the weakest of the three guys in the Shield. Yeah, I heard that from a lot of people too. That's a perfectly fine critique. So I can't really explain it to you. I think everything you said it makes sense. Some people get it, some people don't. There's nothing wrong with that.
I think it's because some AEW fans really, really go on the D. I don't know if you saw, I'm sure you saw the JR thing.
Yeah,
the best
I talked
wrestler,
about that. Yeah, I talked about that earlier.
Okay, yeah, I guess they get on me too, man, you know, and I don't really hang out with a lot of wrestling fans, you know, where I'm at, where I live, the type of people I'm around. I'm not really around a lot of wrestling fans, so the only way I could talk wrestling is to, you know, have a comment here or there, and, you know, people really, really get at me.
Yeah, somebody mentioned earlier, they're very tribalist in that if you say anything that is perceived as negative, they get very upset about that. That's it's a big problem with a lot of the diehard AEW fans. But to be fair, you don't just find that with AEW. You find that with really, really diehard WWE fans too. Especially on Twitter, I see a lot of that. People who will have, like, you know, some of the women as their avatar, and, you know, the slightest comment, they come after you.
Yeah,
it's awful. I mean, some of these people are just dreadful. So it's believe me, it's not just an AEW issue.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask that. I hear you all the time, Solo Monster. I'm a big fan, and just keep doing your thing, man. You really are like the king of wrestling podcasters, at least for the ones who like impartial, unbiased, rational reviews, you know?
Thank you.
You're not someone who does testing for shock value and nothing like that. You really are a fan who gives you opinions, you know? So from all of us, thank you, Solo Monster.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. So there you go. That was from Jonathan from South Central. I think we got one more super chat here that came in from Tommy. Look at this. Dropping another $17 super chat. When I started watching wrestling YouTubers, good mic work was my first, but you'll always be the one I love. Solomonster, LOL. I was 14 when I started listening. I'm 22 now. Boy, you know, when I get messages like that, it's it puts things in perspective. People are like, man, I was listening to you when I first went into high school, and now I'm like out of college and I'm married and I got a kid, and I'm like, fuck, I'm old. That's what happens, man. That's what happens. Father Time, he waits for no one. But I love hearing stuff like that. I had a lot of loyal fans over the years who have stuck with me and have heard and seen the growth of the channel and the show, and it's just a very cool thing. So, Tommy, I appreciate that. That means a lot to me. Dry Chicken, I did not forget about you. He said, one of the three wrestling moves you dislike watching the most, the Bronco Buster, the Stink Face, or the, what is that? The Visagra? What the hell is that? I don't even know what that is. I mean, of the that, those aren't even the moves I hate the most, but I mean, of those choices, I guess with the stink face, it depends on who's giving it. I don't know. What the fuck is a Visagra? What is that? Did you misspell that? Did you mean Viagra? I don't know what you're talking about. Ryan Spies with $1.99. Luther should win the Battle Royal and the title. Oh, come on. All right. Clearly you are inebriated tonight. I see some of this Luther stuff on some of these clips that pop up on Twitter. It's embarrassing. I'm sorry. It has no business being on television in a major promotion. It's very embarrassing. Let's see here. Oh, it's getting late. You guys have stuck with me here for the last... how long are we going here? How long have we gone so far? Yeah, we better wrap up here in a second. Let's go to the last couple of calls here. And again, let's try to keep these brief so I can just storm through these last few here. 850.
Hey, so Monster, you hear me?
I can hear you. It's a little loud, but I can hear you.
Sorry about that. Just family walking around.
So that's perfect.
My question for you is, you see the buy-in match is Serena Deeb versus Rio. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling Serena Deeb should be retaining, but do you see somebody like Camille coming out finally to confront her because you haven't seen her on NWA Power as the NWA Women's Champion?
No, I don't see her coming out here. I know that her and Thunder Rosa went to a no contest on Power this week, so I think that issue is going to continue. I don't think we're going to see Camille on Sunday, though.
Yeah, I was about to say, because I know she was injured, and then she came back just recently, and so I think she's advertised for NWA back for When Our Shadows Fall, because, like I said, but I don't think the issue with Thunder Rosa and Camille is over yet, because they actually went to a 20-minute time limit draw, so you saw Thunder Rosa's reaction after that match. I'm not going to mention it here, but she was not happy with the ending of that match.
Yeah, no, but, yeah, no, as far as on Sunday, I don't see it. I think it's an easy win for Serena, who retains her title.
I can agree with you, but one quick question, just real quick. Do you ever wonder why they never did a Nick Aldis versus Cody 3? Because they did the first two matches, one at All In and one at NWA 70 Anniversary, but they never did a third and final rubber match. Do you think we can ever see that happen to NWA or AEW?
Yeah, I think it's possible. More likely, maybe in NWA. It's weird how he has not been involved at all in AEW. I would think if they were ever going to use him, he would have popped up at some point to make some kind of appearance. It just doesn't seem like that necessarily is in the cards, but we could always see Cody and Aldis 3 at some point down the road. It's very possible.
All right, like I said, I appreciate everything you did. And like I said, I just want to do one quick thing, Cody. Thank you for your kind words with your email and giving me some good critique on my YouTube channel. It's really helped out a lot. And with the advice you gave me, I've been able to grow over 1,000 more subscribers. So I really do appreciate
it,
Bell Monster.
That's awesome. I'm so happy to hear that. And keep growing it, man. Just keep grinding and you'll see success will come.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. You have a good night. Thank you for everything you do.
All right. You too. Take care. Let's go to 423.
Hey, Jason, this is me, James Vaughn. I just want to call and say that I think you're doing a great job on your show and everything and all that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm the one that told you I had my accent and everything. And you asked me how I was doing and all that.
Yeah, it's been a while. I know I haven't taken too many calls recently, so. Hopefully you're doing well.
I am, man. I'm walking with a cane. I'm getting better every day.
Awesome.
One thing. Well, thank you. Appreciate it. I do agree that Omega will win the match at the main event on Sunday. And I don't think a lot of people should be excited if there is any surprises. Let's not hope there's. Let's not even think about that. Maybe it might be. It may not be. But do you think? Do you think Moxley will go, him and Eddie will go for the tag team titles against the Young Bucks anytime soon?
Say that again. The which team is going to go for the tag team titles?
I was going to say Moxley, who's part of in the tag team thing right now.
Yeah.
Do you think him and his partner will go against the Young Bucks for the titles?
Yeah, I mean, as a matter of fact, I mean, they're challenging for the tag team titles on Sunday. So, yeah, that's why when I did my predictions earlier, I picked them to win. So, yeah, they're getting their match on Sunday, Double or Nothing, and they are my pick to walk out with the AEW tag team titles. So, again, thank you to James for the call. I'm happy to hear that he is doing well. 803, you are on the air.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
My name is Michael. I'm Michael.
Hey, Michael.
Well, I have two questions. My first question is, what do you think about Lance Archer taking on Miro for the TNT Championship?
I don't think Lance Archer is going to win the TNT Championship on Sunday. I'm not really enamored with the idea of him losing. So my plan would be for them to go to a time limit draw, and then you bring the match back on TV in a few weeks and do a rematch.
Okay. And my last question is, what do you think about Sting and Darby Allin teaming up to take on Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky?
I picked Sting and Darby to win when I did my predictions earlier on. So my belief is that they'll walk out with the win, but that to me is one of the more unpredictable matches in the card. It could go either way. You know, they could give the win to the new heel team, and it's not like Sting and Darby would really be hurt by it too much. But Darby just lost the TNT title. I wouldn't have him losing back-to-back big matches like that. So I got to go with Sting and Darby on Sunday. Let's go to, I believe, I'm not mistaken here. This might be one of our friends from overseas in Saudi Arabia.
Hey, Jason, what's up?
What's going on?
Good, man. It's been a while.
I know. It's been a hot minute, as they say.
Yeah. So how are you doing, man? How the COVID situation in your city?
Things are going well. Things are getting better and kind of becoming a little more normal each day, bit by bit. So things are good here. Hopefully things are are okay by you as well.
Yeah, man. It's doing well. So I will ask one question. I will tell you, because I'm your Saudi source, I will tell you information about the next Saudi show.
Okay.
So the first question is about Undertaker and Sting. Like, what happened there? What the hell has happened there, you know? Like, I remember in 2011, there was a promo. We all thought that it was promoting Sting. I think you did as well, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people thought it was. And apparently, because the people thought that it was him, it got WWE's attention, even though it was always supposed to be The Undertaker. But they did reach out to Sting because his contract was either almost due or had just run out with TNA. And they talked. I think they had a conversation about maybe possibly working together, and it just didn't happen. And it was a few more years before he signed. So it was always going to be The Undertaker, but I think the fans let their imaginations run wild with who they thought it was. And yeah, unfortunately, the match, it just never happened. They ran out of time.
Yeah.
They got old.
After I heard The Undertaker that there were no plans in the first place, I got like, wow, we got our hopes up all these years, you know?
Yeah, no, it was a missed opportunity for sure.
And like for Sting, what if? I call him the "what if" guy in WWE. He, like, so many years has passed by and never made it to WWE until it was too late. Too late.
Yeah, no. And look, he had good reason. Yeah. He had good reason. He has said that one of the reasons he didn't come over earlier was because he was worried that Vince McMahon and WWE would embarrass him. And here's this ex-WCW guy, and he wasn't convinced they were going to book him properly. And you know what? I think they would have, but he had every right to feel that way. He had every right to feel that way. He said,
in 2002,
Yeah, I remember there was one comment he made, and it might have been on his DVD that they put out when he first signed. He was watching when some of the WCW guys came over at the beginning. And Booker T showed up on either Raw or SmackDown. And The Rock was in the ring, and I think he was cutting a promo on Booker T. And he just made a comment like, "Who in the blue hell are you?" He was basically pretending like he didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
And Sting, he remembered that. And he said, "Boy, you know, you talk about...
I don't want to get the same treatment, yeah."
Yeah, you talk about burying the WCW guys. And he just didn't want that to happen to him. So, you know, you can't really blame him for feeling that way.
Yeah, I know. So lastly, I want to give you information about the next... I don't know if you know, but Russell Votes tweeted that a Roman Saudi show is in the end of the year.
I had heard that they were hoping to do one before the year was over, but that's all I heard.
Yeah, but 2 days ago, like our government, the entertainment government, announced that Tyson Fury will be boxing in August. So that made the Saudi coming is very likely, you know?
Okay. And you have some information about this?
Yeah, so very likely the show will be on December in Jeddah. So you'll be looking for the sign, man.
I'll be looking.
Our deal is still...
I'll be looking for it.
Our deal is still on, man. Yeah, man.
Awesome.
So thank you for taking my call, man. It's really nice to me.
Yeah, no. It's always good to hear from you, and I'm sure we'll be talking again well before December, I'm sure.
Yeah, before the pay-per-view, yeah. I will tell you, like, because... Okay, thank you, man.
So all right. Much. Take care, man. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All the way from Saudi Arabia, our good friend. Haven't heard from him in a while, so it's good to hear his voice. Dried Chicken has clarified with his $5 super chat. The Visagra was Viscera's pelvic thrust, so I had forgotten about that. That was when he was the ladies' man. Big Vis. Dried Chicken... Visagra was Viscera's wrestling move, an amateur-style back-riding position with pelvic thrust. Yes, you don't have to paint a picture for me. I do remember that. I tried to put it out of my head. Now, it's front and center again. So, thanks a lot. I didn't know it had a name. That was the whole thing. I didn't know it had a name. It looked like rape. That's what it looked like. That was the word for it. That's basically what he was doing to these people. But thank you for the visual. J-Dub says, "I've been drinking too much and smoking too much lately. Need to dry out. Listening to Solomonster." We took a whole bunch of calls. It was good to get everybody back on the line. We'll have to do that more often. And everybody who sent in a super chat, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Answered a whole bunch of questions tonight. So again, don't forget Dynamite. For those of you who are not aware, is airing live on Friday night, 10 p.m. I ran down the card a little bit earlier. If you came in late and you missed it, I ran down the entire pay-per-view card for Double or Nothing on Sunday. I gave my predictions, and I'm going to be live with you. In fact, I am going to be live back here with you on Sunday night. So as soon as the pay-per-view goes off the air, there it is. That's the thumbnail you want to look for. The Sound Off Double or Nothing review. We are also going to be doing the Wrestle Rumble contests. So that is going to be a fun night on Sunday as we head into Memorial Day. Big holiday weekend coming up. It looks like it's going to be a washout here in New York. The weather looks like it's going to suck. So we're going to be indoors working the whole weekend. All right, guys, we've gone 3 hours on the dot. Did not plan to go that long, but we had a lot of calls tonight. And a lot of super chats. And hopefully you enjoyed the stream. We had our AEW stream after all, even though there was no Dynamite. I'm going to be back with you on Sunday for a double podcast. So you are going to get episode 706 on Sunday. And then Sunday night, you are going to get a Double or Nothing review. And you will also, at some point in the next several days after it airs, be getting my review of The Ultimate Warrior. Dark Side of the Ring. So you got a lot of fun stuff coming up here in the days to come heading into the holiday. I want everybody here in this country to have a very happy Memorial Day weekend. Whatever you may be doing, grill some burgers and hot dogs and all that good stuff. Have some macaroni salad with it. Be well. Stay safe. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for hanging out. And I'll see you back here in a few days. We got a lot more content coming. And I hope you'll join me for all of it. So till then, take care, guys.